If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anywhere. You can't do it anymore.
The power goat. Bah! I don't know what that was.
Too bad, not too bad. Now! There was 7 weeks I went straight edge for In Your Head Insure.
Mm-hmm.
7 weeks in a row. Not a drop of alcohol. Not a pill. No lines. No injections. Nothing! That is all over. Let's start over.
So, you've made a pact with the devil tonight for a glass of beer.
I fell into hard times good times in this weekend, and it's carried over into Wednesday.
So you're off the wagon, is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm saying.
Sound like you're drinking water earlier. You can't drink water with alcohol, can you?
Yeah, that's good. That's how you don't get hangovers.
Really?
Plenty of water.
I thought you were supposed to make some concoction with a lot of salt.
I don't know. I just drink water.
Really? Huh. That might work too.
Right now, natural watermelon water
flushes your system.
Keep hydrated. There we go, Incher.
So, well, anyhow, Jack.
They send you here. They've got a. Well, we won't get into that. We're supposed to be Raven here opening the show. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look like Raven's going to be on again 2 weeks in a row. And I'm not going to blame Raven this time because it was set up through Extreme Rising. And then today Extreme Rising went out there and said that they've canceled their next three shows.
Yeah. So if he's, not going to be promoting shows, then I don't think I'd want to
do
an interview either.
The thing is, too, he was supposed to call in through the guy who sets up the interviews, which was how they did the Boss Mahoney one, too.
Uh-huh.
But if they don't actually call me, call us, and then connect the two, maybe he didn't know it was going to happen anyway. So I don't think they gave him the direct number to call in, is what I'm saying. I think you picked them to call him, and then they were going to connect us all. That's how they did the last one. So, anyway, no Raven tonight, but we do have Billy Silverman, referee from WCW, WWE, WWF, and he will be on at 9 p.m. Eastern, so roughly about a half hour.
Excellent. So the good times, we're going to get Billy Silverman on. Isn't he the guy who, like, had the bar and all that, and he killed himself?
Yeah, he's dead. We're having a dead guy on the show.
No, not killed himself, but wasn't that the whole skit?
No, that was the old guy.
The old guy?
White, something white.
White, oh, I'm getting them confused, I'm
Billy
sorry.
Billy Silverman, thin referee, he was actually the referee for the infamous finger poke of doom.
Ah.
The finger poke of doom, an infamous match. Right after they broke Goldberg's streak, Kevin Nash breaks the streak. He walks down there Nitro to have a big match with Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Bam! One finger poke. Nash goes down. Hogan pins him, gets the title back. And the NWO reforms and madness ensues. And hence, it was known for the rest of history till this day. Is the finger poke of doom, and many point their fingers to the finger poke of doom as the death of WCW. But I've always defended the finger poke of doom. I thought it was a great angle, and I thought it got a lot of heel heat.
Nah. Huh, I think I guess the equivalent of that for today's standards would be like Bubba Ray would come out, and then like D-Von would poke him, and then he'd fall over.
Right.
Yeah. That would be the whole Aces and Eights bit.
That's Aces and Eights little ditty.
Nah, you got it all wrong. It goes, boom, 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 boom. Then the guitar kicks in, and it's like, I forget how it sounds when the guitar kicks in, but...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Dolph Ziggler's song beats it all to hell. I like Dolph Ziggler's song. Yeah.
What happened? Isn't that like a real queer song?
No, it's an ass-kicker song.
How's it go?
Something about, I'm here to show the world. Ah, yeah. I better watch what I do. Something like that. Mm. I kind of like it. Dolph Ziggler's song. And if that makes it, if it's wrong, I don't want to be right, Jack. That's all I got to say about that.
I'm not really, I can't think of, like you could throw out friggin' you ever take a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia, you better read the signs of Bailey Porter. You got the X, you got the Smasher, they're demolition, they're a walking disaster. You got the friggin' Rougeau brothers, they're all American boys.
Yeah.
They're all American boys. These are the songs that I grew up on and I remember. It's been, I ain't gonna remember this bullshit. Of friggin' Ziggler coming out the beauty, ha ha ha! I can remember that shit. I'm gonna remember the classics.
Yeah, those are the classics, of course. But you know, I mean, I was just talking about current tunes.
Snotterized.
Exactly. That's not exactly a current tune, but it is a classic. I'll give it that.
There's no Snotterized today.
Mm-hmm.
No one's pulling out Snotterized today.
I mean, Priceless was pretty close.
No, it wasn't. No one will ever remember. Our debate over Priceless will be remembered more fondly than Priceless.
I don't know. I kind of like the Priceless song, but I guess it was no Steiner.
How's it go? Sing it. Sing it. Let's hear it.
It's like, Priceless. Oh, baby, I'm priceless. Something like that.
See, I don't even remember it.
I kind of remember that. That was in the song. I'll bet like 50 cents on it.
50 cents? You'll bet a rapper on it?
A rapper. What's
Isn't
a rapper?
That a rapper? 50 cents? Is that a person?
Oh, no, I can't bet that 50 cents. I'm betting like 50 cents as in two quarters.
Two quarters. Damn. Pretty nice vendor.
That I am. But, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
We had ourselves Triple H on Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And he's furious. He's going to beat up on some Brock Lesnar. He's saying, if you didn't go into a match with Brock Lesnar and not know that your career could possibly be on the line, then you're just like an idiot.
Whoa.
Now, what did you think about this promo on Raw? Did you watch Raw?
I have a confession to make. I had basically no sleep. I went like 30-something hours without sleep, and then I slept a couple hours on the plane ride home because my group was I mean, we were shit-faced, and I was the only one of the group, and I didn't drink any less, but Jackie Jones can hold his alcohol. The only one that was not passed out, so I had to actually take care of some of my buddies, which resulted in me no sleep. But I could not stay awake and watch Raw, and I just had to hit the bed. I was looking at this bed. I was like, oh, look at that fucking bed. I want to make love to that bed with my face. And I just laid on that bad boy and went to sleep.
When you're taking care of the drunk buddies who are, like, passed out or puking or, you know.
They're passed out. Pat, one, do you want me to tell a story? Now, I got to protect the names because one is a celebrity. But we went out Sunday night, and all this will be on the recap tomorrow night on Without Your Head. Mm-hmm. But Sunday night we went out. It was me and three people. One's a celebrity, one works for South Park. He won't care. And one's just a new guy I know, Larry. And we went out. We went bar hopping. I'll keep this one short. Went out to eat. We went bar hopping. We went to this place. It was called the Thirsty Beaver, which is a total dive entry.
Yeah.
And we go up there, and you got to remember, I'm looking at this place. I'm wearing, like, basically a suit, a tie, a top hat, a vest, dress shirt, slacks. And this place is like this hole in the wall. With called the Thirsty Beaver, and you can hear live country music playing, and we got an English fellow with us, and we're all like kind of preppy dude, you know what I'm saying? So we go in there, and the first thing I see is a big old black dog. Everyone's wearing cowboy hats, all rednecked up, live country music, live, you know, shit kicking music in the corner. I thought we're gonna get killed. They're gonna say we don't like your kind here, but you know what? I was guilty of what I was accusing them of. I would say they'd see us and they would judge us. No! They were cool. And they welcomed us in with open arms, and we had a good old time and with a bunch of shit-kicking rednecks.
Well, there you go.
And then back in the pool area, the one redneck, he was like, you guys should go down to Snug Harbor. He said, on Thursday nights, it's a tranny bar. And apparently thought that was right up our alley. Our eyes lit up like, hell yeah! That sounds like the place to go! So we took a little walk and went down to the Snug Harbor. We walked up, and right away, I knew it was going to be a good place because that weekend, I had Dr. McGillicuddy stuff all over my booth at Mad Monster Party Charlotte, and I walked up, and the guy went, Dr. McGillicuddy! So that was my nickname at the Snug Harbor, was Dr. McGillicuddy.
Mm-hmm.
So we went in there, and there was a lot of transvestites, but they were out of suit, but they were still very flamboyant. So it was basically all gay, really flamboyant gay guys and chicks, which resulted in good times, and sure. You know what I'm saying? It's a good, look, you got all these gay dudes, then you got all the chicks, and then you got some straight guys, you see what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, could you explain this to me one more time?
Well, see, the chicks are there to have fun with the gay guys, but they're not going to have a certain kind of fun with the gay guys because they're gay. So then you got some straight guys there with all the chicks who are having fun with the gay guys, but if they want to have the hibbity-hibbity-ha, then they're going with the straight guys.
The hibbity-hibbity-ha, you say? Oh, I get you.
Mm-hmm. Ha. So I forget the guy's name, he told him. He's like, you should come see me on Thursday, go dressed up, so I do it naked. And one of the things, I put condoms up my nose, and I pull them out in my mouth, and I'm like, I don't think I want to see that. But he was a good dude, he's buying me. And
I don't want to know where he learned that trick at.
He's buying me, and our English chap, he's buying his banana pudding shots. And drinks, and we had lots of drinks, and there was a dog in this bar too, but it was a pit bull, and it was dancing around with somebody who had it would bite someone's hand with like a sleeve on, and would dance all around, and they were having those karaoke, and it was just a lot of fun. There was this guy with a great big beard, and he was telling us that Smokey Robinson was the miracle of ass kicking. And he was just like, he had Smokey Robinson on his phone, like his iPhone, and he would look at us and he'd say, He didn't care what you say. He didn't care what you do. He didn't care about anyone else but being with her. And then he would step back very dramatically to stare at you and pose and just hold up this Smokey Robinson video and just look at you while you watch this video. It was amazing. You had to be there. I really wish I had my camera. And there were chicks coming up, and they thought this Larry was, because he's kind of a straight-laced dude, they thought he was my manager. And so, like, and I was like, yeah, you gotta go through him to get to me. So they're asking him if they could take pictures with me. Yeah, it was just crazy times. Our English chef tried to bring the man who did the trick with the condoms, tried to bring him back to the hotel with us, but that man's boyfriend was not having, and that guy's boyfriend really reminded me of, like, a flamboyantly gay Duckman with some facial hair. Very skinny, just seemed like Duckman. And he kept looking at me going, "Dole!" And I had no idea what that meant. And he never said any other words besides "Dolaire."
Dolaire?
Yeah, like I think it was dollar, but he's trying to say it like he's French or something. "Dolaire!" Mm.
Was this an impaired person?
Well, everyone was a little impaired at this point. So then we finally made it back to the hotel. I said, Larry lived 20 minutes away, and he's supposed to go home. His wife lived, and I said, you can't drive home. Take my extra bed. We tried to film a podcast, and everyone was passed out but me, and the other person, he vanished. So Larry's passed out my bed. Anthony from Evil Puppets from South Park, he's passed out in his room. I go looking for our English chap. He's passed out in the computer room. I try shake him. He will not wake up. I text Anthony. He comes down, and we go up to the front desk. We're like, this is a celebrity. We don't want him. We don't want the other guests and people seeing him passed out here down in the lobby. We take him up the room, and they were cool. So we actually were wheeling, because he's passed out on a computer chair, so it's got wheels on it. And we couldn't push him forward because his feet would hit, so we're rolling him backwards through the rest of the lobby while he's snoring away, into the elevator, up the elevator, into my room, and we get him in the room. Anthony takes off. I'm gonna go take off my shoes so I can hit the sack. He just lunges out of his chair and falls right on my bed, passed out, and starts snoring away. So I got two beds, and being a good guy, I let people sleep in. Now I'm back up in bedless.
Bedless Jones.
So I said, screw this. I tried to sleep in my chair, but these passed out drunks are farting and snoring. I couldn't hear God. I couldn't get sleep. So I said, screw this. I got this cool phone. I'm going to go on Facebook for a few hours, because it checks out only a few hours anyway. But how much am I going to be able to sleep in the first place? So that was Sunday night, Monday morning.
No. Well, that doesn't sound like a very good time.
You know the point, Taz. I say, what's the point? The point is, Taz of the Greek, you're a piece of shit, and you're in the In Your Head chat room. And if you don't want to listen to us talk about what we're doing, fuck off and go to hell.
Did you have a Jack Daniels bottle in your hand when you just did that?
No.
That would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. But, you could have pickpocketed the English gentleman and got his room key and went to his room. Did you ever thought about that?
Could have.
Yeah.
He woke up. He's like, where am I? How did I get here?
Yeah.
And I told him the story, and he's like, oh, well, I really thank you. And it was good.
You stole my bed.
It was a crazy week, and lots of madness ensued. And I'll tell you, I mean, we met a lot of wrestlers too. Jake Snake Roberts was there, and Sergeant Slaughter, and Kazarni.
Kazarni?
Yeah.
Did you get along with him?
Yeah, he was there with Sergeant. He was there with, he was like Jake the Snake's handler, his buddy.
Oh. We had him booked, didn't we, once, and he just didn't show or something, or what happened there?
Yeah, he no showed.
Ah, yeah, I kind of remember that. But, yeah, sounds like good times. Good times at the Charlotte Horror Fest thing that you went to. What was it called again?
The Mad Monster Party.
Ah. Mad Monster Party.
Mm-hmm. It's excellent times. Excellent times, Red.
Mm-hmm. Jack, when you were out doing that, I was out searching for a belt.
Nice.
Yeah. I called you, and you're like, I'm in Charlotte, and I just met Mike Johnson. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally forgot that you're going to that thing. And I was like, but I'm at the flea market, and the guy has a Ric Flair belt here. I'm trying to haggle him down.
Yeah, and you didn't even realize I was in Charlotte.
Yeah. I was just trying to get your opinion if you thought, like, how much you thought the belt would be worth. But, anyways, I went and got money, and people left, so I couldn't get the replica belt. Like, I don't want a replica belt that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if I could get it for cheap, I probably would buy one cheap. But, I don't know. I thought about just offering them, like, $80, but I don't know if that would be too much or too cheap or what. But, anyways, it was kind of funny because, like, the guy was like, yeah, same thing as they got on TV. And I was like, I think they actually give the people, like, you know, something differently. You know, it's not like the replica belt that they sell.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're kind of made out of something else. And the guy's like, no, nah, buddy, I went backstage and they told me. And I was just like, whatever, man.
Sounds very reasonable.
Yeah, he was like, I went backstage, buddy, and they told me. Same thing. I'm like, I'm not arguing with you, dude.
It's the same one they give out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, like, the one on TV is made out of real gold or anything, but, like, I think they do make the belt differently. But anyways, I wasn't arguing with the guy at the flea market. I get very angry whenever I try to haggle with people and they turn me down, but I went to go get money to show him how much I had, you know, tempt him a little bit. And then, like, when I got back, they were just gone. Like, the belt was gone and they were gone. Like, everything. It's like, damn it, I'm supposed to buy this Ric Flair belt off the top of the hood of their car.
They're like gypsies.
Basically, yeah. They ran away like gypsies in the night. I came back to haggle, damn it. And they had the Smoking Skull belt. I'm not sure if it was the actual one or if it was like a toy one, because it was really small. They were asking like $75 for it, and they wanted $150 for the Ric Flair belt. I thought that was a little high, but I was going to come back and make them an offer, but they're gone. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Jackie Jones, you had yourself a crazy weekend. I had myself. That was about the highlight of my weekend. I've got no crazy stories about English gentlemen passing out on my bed or anything like that. But when you're taking care of your friends and they're all, like, boozed up and everything, is that kind of like the low part of your weekend?
What was that?
Like, whenever your friends are passed out and everything, was that a little disappointing? Was that kind of a stupor on your weekend?
No, because it was the last night. It was like 6 in the morning after being up, you know, pretty much 24 hours. So yeah. I think it was just a nice way to close out the weekend.
I don't know. I mean, if you put yourself in my shoes, like, I don't drink ever. And, like, that's basically what it's like whenever I'm around people who are drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Is I gotta kind of watch out for them, you know, make sure they don't get into anything too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not too much fun, so that's probably why I don't go to the bar scene too much.
Mm-hmm. One of my buddies, because we were filming another podcast, Saturday night.
Podcast do you do?
Huh?
How many podcasts do you do now? You're just like, podcast on the fly.
So it was Saturday night. Everyone was drinking in the hotel room.
Hey, let's do another show, and I'll call this show I'm the Fucking Drunk Show.
Taz was saying that he doesn't like this show. He wants us to talk about Jap women and John Cena's abs. So, all right, big pocket. No more stories. If you want to hear the rest of the stories, listen to What I Hear tomorrow night.
Yeah.
They just want to hear about wrestling.
Let's see. What can we talk about Johnson's abs? All right,
talk about what happened on Raw. Fill me in, because I couldn't.
Well, it wasn't too much craziness going on Monday Night Raw. Wade Barrett, he was making himself down to the ring. He was coming in at the end of Triple H's promo, and like he kind of interrupted him a little bit. And he's like the IC champion, right, Jack?
Yes.
So he's coming down to the ring, and he stands in front of Triple H, and he like kind of points to the back, like, you know, get out of here, get out of my way. I'm the IC champion. You just get on to the back, Triple H. And then what happens? Triple H kicks him in the balls, and the man just falls over and withers in pain. And the Intercontinental Champion, he just got kicked in the family jewels, and he's just laying on the floor. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, I know it's Triple H, and he's like you know, a ring veteran and all that, but shouldn't the IC Champion be, you know, presented in a better light?
Yes, they don't care about the minor titles whatsoever.
No, and I mean, why couldn't it have been somebody else? Like, I don't know, Santino or something, or somebody Triple H could have kicked in the balls and it wouldn't have made them look like a complete bitch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like Zack Ryder or something, or I don't know, Heath Slater, he would have been a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
Not the IC champion.
Yeah, the IC and the US champ, they're just jobbers.
Pretty much. So that was one thing that happened on Monday Night Raw. There was just a lot of building up towards WrestleMania. That's about all that really was on there. The Shield, they did the triple power bomb to Great Khali. I really feel bad for Great Khali, because it just seems like they bring him out just to do huge moves, and I feel like they're just going to break the man.
Mm-hmm.
It always makes me feel bad for him. So he's just there to, you know, take the big spots.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. And then at the end of Raw, because I can't hardly remember anything else, at the end of Raw, they had a debate. But, like, the WWE Hall of Famers was asking the questions.
Nice.
And who do you think was out there, Jackie?
WWE Hall of Famers asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Coco Beware.
No, a little more prominent than that.
Hmm.
I'll give you a hint.
All
like,
right.
The lowest guy on the entire, you know, Legends roster was Booker T.
That's a pretty big one.
So that's pretty big. It's only up from there. So.
Yeah, was Bruno out there?
Nah, Bruno wasn't out there, no. Not that high.
Bob Backlund?
No, it wasn't Bob Backlund.
Just tell me.
All right, I'm just going to tell you then. Mick Foley... He was out there. Dusty Rhodes. Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's it. And Booker T. Yeah, let's see. Am I forgetting anybody? I think that's it. And they had The Rock and John Cena at podiums in the ring. Mm-hmm. And they did a pretty good little thing with John Cena and The Rock. And the fans were booing John Cena out of the building there in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was pretty good because, like, the Rock was, like, responding to a lot of things that Cena had said. Like, at this one point, John Cena said that the Rock never, you know, saw a failure in his entire life. Mm-hmm. And then the Rock went into how, you know, he was taking out mattresses out of dumpsters and stuff like that, you know. And it was like, you know, John Cena was kind of, you know, he didn't really think before he said that the Rock's never... seen defeat or anything like that, but it was a pretty good segment. I liked how they built up towards the angle at WrestleMania. I think, you know, it's probably one of the most solid segments between the two so far,
because
they normally don't do a whole lot of building towards WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, should have seen it. It was something.
I would have liked to have seen it. but I was just too tired.
Mm-hmm. So besides, like, Triple H kicking Wade Barrett in the balls, kicking him in the family jewels.
Mm-hmm. Right in the old nuts.
Yeah, that's about the only thing I can really think of that, like, you know, was a big deal on Raw. That and the debate.
Mm-hmm. The debate. I kind of wish I would have saw the debate.
Yeah, the debate was pretty good. It was a good way to end the show, I guess. Jerry Lawler, he was like the moderator. Another thing that happened, Jack, I know this is going to get your juices a-flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that AJ and Caitlyn had a match.
Really?
Yes.
Well, now, was this like an epic five-star extravaganza?
Yes, it was. It was something to behold. But before that, they had a segment with Kane and Daniel Bryan talking to each other, and it was pretty funny. I kind of enjoyed it. It was Daniel Bryan was like, you know, Kane, you can't control yourself whenever AJ's out there in the ring, and then Kane's like, you're the one who can't control yourself. You never got over. And I just thought it was kind of funny, the banter back and forth between the two.
Mm-hmm. I did see them, like, kicking each other's ass backstage.
Kane and Daniel Bryan?
Mm-hmm.
That must have been a few
weeks
ago.
No. AJ.
Yeah, AJ Caitlin. And Caitlin, yeah.
Yeah.
That bit kind of led into the whole thing with them beating up on one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Man, Raw, I can't hardly remember anything on.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was an all right show. It wasn't terrible.
Mm-hmm. And this was going into WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. CM Punk came out, and he started off the show, and he was just kind of, you know, going on and on about what they say about the Undertaker streak, and he was saying that he was going to be the man to end it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty good promo, I thought. It's definitely better than the one that he had last week, I think. Where he was juggling around the urn and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, I really don't think he's prepared. That one wasn't good.
Paul Heyman was with CM Punk.
Really?
It's kind of different seeing Paul Heyman back with CM Punk now that they got Brock Lesnar into the mix and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's my Raw recap, unless somebody else can think of something and tell us about it.
Well, apparently Taza was jerking the gurk into John Cena's abs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
He loves the abs of John Cena.
You think Taza could suck a condom through his nose and spit it out his mouth?
He could probably suck a condom right off a cock.
Oh.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I wish I would have seen it, because, I mean, it's a big go-home show.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania, because you're going down this road. You're going down the road. We should actually go to break, and we'll come back, and we will actually have Billy Silverman here.
Oh, yeah. That should be
hopefully.
Good times.
Hopefully.
Alrighty, everybody. We'll be back. If you have a question for Billy, you can call in 508-644-8503. I'm pretty sure he'll be cool with calls. Mm-hmm. All right, we shall return.
We shall.
Hey, this is Big Sexy Kevin Nash. You're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com, the only place to hear people like me tell it like it really is.
All right, we're back once again here, and we're joined by former WWF, former WCW, maybe even WWE. Referee Billy Silverman is on the line with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys tonight?
I'm great. Doing good. Yeah, there might be some other guests that say they'll come on weeks and weeks in a row and they don't show up. But Billy Silverman, he is a good man. He even rescheduled this time, and he is here right on time.
I'm right here. No problem, my friend. No problem.
All right. And if anyone wants to call in and talk to Billy, you can call in. It's 508-644-8503. And actually, if you're a New England inch man like myself, you can go see him at the New England Pro Wrestling Fan Fest 3 in Fairhaven, Massachusetts. We'll have links up on the website, and that is June 22nd.
It is, and I'm looking forward to it. Going to be a lot of great fans, a lot of great people there. A lot of the wrestlers are going to be there from past, present, future. I mean, it's going to be. He's really put together a really great autograph kind of signing session there with so many different guys from guys from way before and guys that are working now, guys in the future that are coming up. So I think it's going to be a great time for the fans. I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of the fans that I haven't seen in a long time here in New England. So if you see me and you know me or you haven't seen me in a long time, please come up and say hey.
Mm-hmm. Let's go over a few of the names here. Maybe you have a story involving them. One of my favorites, Paul, Mr. Wonderful Orndorff. Maybe not one of your favorites, but by the reaction.
I just don't really know that I have a story about him. Nothing either way. I worked with him in WCW. He was one of the road agents. I don't have anything bad to say about him. I know he's, been in the business a long, long time. From what I understand, he's actually, I think, booked at that Fan Fest. And, good guy. I mean, he's had an incredible career. Worked with, Hogan on top. He's worked with everybody on top. So, yeah, no. I can't really say I honestly know him all that well other than, from him being a road agent at WCW.
Mm-hmm. I know Howard Finkel's going to be there.
Howard Finkel will be there. He's been around for, God, Howard Finkel's got to be older than dirt because he's been around forever.
I've actually, maybe I should say this, but in New England I see him around every once in a while. I actually saw him at Mohegan Sun Casino, and you got to love the Fink. You can't argue the best announcer of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He is. Like I said, he's been around for a long time. He's worked for, I believe, the WWE, WWF his entire career. I mean, I want to say he's probably one of their longest term employees, I would almost think, as far from a talent perspective and just from an office perspective. Howard's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. There's literally, so many names here. I don't think we should go over every name here. But you should definitely check out the website. We'll have the link right on. And maybe later on we'll go over all the names. But
sure. It's
unreal how many people are going to be here.
I know. How many? I don't even know how many there are lined up right now. But I know I keep getting the emails, of the different ones that they're still continuing to book guys for.
Yeah.
So I know there's going to be a lot of talent. I know some of the Nitro girls are going to be there,
mm-hmm.
Which is always fun. And, yeah, there's just going to be a whole array of talent there that people don't normally get a chance to see, especially here in New England, because a lot of that talent is from WCW, so they're from the South.
Yeah.
And they may not have had the opportunity to see them work up here in the Northeast or just, they've seen them on TV, but never got to meet them. And everybody I think I can pretty much say from most of the people that I've met in the business, all of them are great, and they're just great. They really like to meet their fans, they like to sign autographs, and they're just happy to be out there, to really say hello to people and just show their appreciation for all all the fan support and just the tickets that they buy, because that's really what pays our salaries, and that's really what makes TV as big as it is it's all about the fans, and that's why I'm just real excited about this Fan Fest, because I think just by the list of talent that's on, that's appearing at the Fan Fest, I think is going to be phenomenal, and it's just everybody's going to have a great time, and I think they're going to have a great opportunity to really meet some really super, super nice people.
Yeah, I got to mention one name because it's not going to be the biggest name to people out there listening, but as a lifetime wrestling fan in New England, the Duke of Dorchester, Pete Doherty's going to be there. And
right on, right on. He is the best.
He is.
I haven't seen him and probably, again, he was, when I first broke in the very early 80s, he was kind of finishing up his career, I think, or I'm not quite sure, how he kind of, got out of the business, but he was doing a few independents here in New England, and I got to meet him and work with him, and he's a stitch. He really is. I mean, he's a good guy, but he's just, you know, he's a real, I just always saw him as one of those character kind of guys, you know, I mean, that you could just really, he could work with anybody, you know, he was a talented guy. I'm not really sure what his background is so much, and maybe you might know that a little bit more than I would. But I know that, you know, he had quite a little following in New England, and he was quite a character here in New England. So that'll be good to say hello to him.
Yeah, when I used to watch on NESN in New England Sports Network, they used to show the Boston Garden shows.
Yeah,
like every month.
He always worked the Boston Garden show,
and he even did it for a little while. Just a few shows, I think he did commentary, and I always thought he was one of the funniest. Gail Color Man, and he had this line that I always remembered since I was a kid. Like they would replay the heel cheating, and he would go, "It's an optical illusion." That was like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I always liked him too. I liked his work. I think they probably could have done more with him, but you know, again, that he was kind of in that day when everything was kind of with the TV and the pay-per-views and all that was kind of really in its infancy, and I just don't think he really caught on or was part of that whole new TV generation. So that may have been why, you know, he kind of got out of the business. I don't really know. Or he may have just, you know, decided it was time. Yeah, everybody gets to that point where they know it's time. And I don't even know. I want to say somebody told me now he's an electrician maybe, or I don't know what he does now. Do you even know what he does?
I actually know that he doesn't live far from me. I think he owns a ranch, actually. And I've thought about seeing if he would actually do a video interview with me or something. But I don't think he lives. I live on the Cape, and I've heard that he doesn't live far from me.
Oh, okay. And he'd probably do that. He'd probably love to do it, you know. I mean, but like I said, I don't remember what he does now. I almost want to say, though, somebody told me he was – I want to say he's an electrician, maybe, or I don't remember, to be honest with you. But that's a name from the blast from the past, and a good guy too. You know, I mean, I always liked his work. I worked with him once down in Massachusetts at a show. Actually, it was on the Cape, and yeah, that's the first time I met him. And then I had seen him at a couple of other shows that I did in very early beginning for me. But like I said, I didn't really get to know him all that well. But I just really liked that Duke of Dorchester with the no teeth and, you know, the straggly hair. It was just, I liked it. It was a great little gimmick, you know.
Yeah, he's the man. Actually, when you brought up the Nitro Girls here in the chat room, I don't know if you want to talk about this. They want to know if Billy Silverman ever dated any of the Nitro Girls.
No, oh no, but
they didn't use the word date. They didn't use the word date, but I tried to clean it up.
Yeah, no, the Nitro Girls are great, though. I know, I knew them, most of them pretty well. I know Charmel, who is Booker T's wife. I knew her. I knew, is it Spice is the little one, Melissa. Her name is Melissa Spice. I knew Shay, who actually just had a baby recently in Texas. Who else did I know? I knew Rebecca, who was Shawn Michaels' wife. I knew, obviously, Stacy Keebler, who dates George, his name? Clooney, the movie star. So, I mean, I knew them. I can't say, I can honestly say I never dated one of them, but, you know, they were a fun bunch. They really were. I knew Kimberly, who was Paige's wife at the time. I'm trying to think who are some of the other girls, Tigress, you know, I mean, they were all around, and I was in Ready to Rumble, the movie, and their trailers, the girls, it seemed like our scenes were mostly shot together. So I would travel on there was a van that would come to the hotel and pick us up to go shoot our scenes and take us to the lot that we were shooting on. So, you know, during the day, you just kind of walk around, hang out, and, you know, we got to chat and got to know them pretty well from that. And they were just a great bunch of girls, you know. They were a lot of fun. They were a lot of fun.
Yeah. You talked about Ready to Rumble. What was it like, you know, filming a movie?
Incredible. I mean, it's surreal is the only way to put it. It's incredible. It was, I mean, a really incredible time in my life. It was an incredible thing to happen to me. You know, not only were we around, you know, all the people that we worked with as far as the wrestlers who were in the movie, but we were also around, you know, we were around David Arquette. I got to meet David Arquette, Courtney Cox, his wife, Scott Kahn, who is now in Hawaii 5-0, was in the movie, David Arquette. So we got to meet all those people, and, you know, we're always around them and we're able to interact with them. And, you know, you think that they'd be a lot different than they really are, but they're not. They're just regular people like we are. They put their pants on one leg at a time, and it was a lot of fun. It was just a very surreal, very incredible opportunity, and just it was an opportunity of a lifetime, and it was just a really great, you know, great time in my life. So yeah, it was incredible to see all that goes into a movie and how they're actually put together, and, you know, how the directors interact with everybody and how the scenes are set up and getting call sheets for what time you've got to be there. And, you know, then they lay out what you're going to be doing, if you have lines or what your part's going to be. And it was really incredible. I mean, the director was Brian Robinson, who directed Varsity Blues, which was an Academy Award winning movie. So, it was just incredible. I guess I don't know how to describe it other than that. It was just an incredible opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Inchman, you got a question?
Yeah, I have a question from the message board. Specs, he'd like to know, what was your most memorable experience while working with the WWE?
You know, just the opportunity, you know, WCW is very different from WWE. WWE is a wrestling company that has TV, whereas WCW was a TV company that had wrestling. So it was very different in that sense, but just, it's an incredible operation. WWE is, it's just incredible. It's a global conglomerate business entity, and it's just to have been there, to have worked there, to have met so many people there, it's an incredible, again, I don't know what to say other than it was a real incredible, you know, incredible time in my life, you know, to be in the ring with some of the people that I got the opportunity to work with, you know, and learn from and be around and to travel. It's an incredible opportunity.
Yeah.
How does someone, you know, become a referee, especially during that time? Like, did you try to become a wrestler first, or?
No. How I kind of fell into the business was a friend of my, one of my dad's best friend when I was growing up was the promoter for Vince McMahon in Maine, New Hampshire, and some parts of Massachusetts. His name was Sam Michaels. So I was always around it growing up. Like, I always got to go to the matches. Me and my dad got to go downstairs. You know, I got to meet, you know, like Chief J. Strongbow was my idol at the time, Tony Garea, you know, and people from that generation of wrestling. I got to meet Baron Miguel Cicluna, Ivan Koloff, you know, so many of the real greats from years gone by, Gorilla Monsoon, and so I got to see all them, and I just wanted to be in the business, and I didn't really know what I wanted to be in the business. And then just, I kind of fell into refereeing. It really was, I kind of fell into it and then had a talent for it, and other people saw me, then I started getting booked, and from there just kind of snowballed. So it was, you know, it was just one of those things that I think it's a little bit of luck, a little bit of talent, and a lot of hard work is really, you know, what happened for me and how I got into it.
Yeah. Now, you know, growing up, you grew up in New England?
I did. I grew up in Maine. I am from Maine, and I grew up in Maine.
Mm-hmm. So was it always your goal to be a referee for WWF?
Absolutely. You know, for WWF, WWE, and yeah, so no, I mean, that's anybody's goal when you get into the business. If you're real serious about the business, like I was, you know, I pretty much lived it at one point, you know, did live it for a long time. And that's what you have to do to make it, you know, and then you get a lot of tough breaks, you know, times you get booked, you don't get used, or, you know, it's not an easy thing to break into. It's really not, you know, I think, again, I would equate it to a lot of luck, some talent, and a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Well, anyone ever give you a hard time, like, say, you were in the wrong place or whatnot, like for the television, or you messed up your spot or anything like that?
No, because, I mean, it takes three. A match is a babyface, a heel, and a referee. Mm-hmm. And it takes all three to do that job. And, I mean, anyone at any point could make a mistake. mistake or could miss something, or, I mean, it happens. It happens to everybody, and there's nobody in the business that can't say they didn't miss a spot somewhere or they didn't, you know, screw up something. So, I mean, it happens, and you just learn from your mistakes and you move on, you know, and it just makes you a better either wrestler or a referee.
I actually got a message here on Facebook that went, what was it like reffing a match with the Giant Gonzalez?
It was interesting, I guess. Interesting would be the word, because he was a real big, big man, and he just wasn't the most agile. He was almost on the clumsy side.
Mm-hmm.
So you really, like, when you referee a match like that with, say, like, you know, somebody like Gonzalez the Giant, or I'd say, and I've never worked with him, but he looks kind of clumsy to me, is who's the guy they have, or the Great Khali.
Yeah.
So you tend to really, when you're in the ring with guys like that, you tend to be much more aware of where you are and where they are, because, you know, if you get squashed by one of them, you're going to get squashed, you know? So, it was cool. I mean, anybody that I can't say that I haven't been in the ring with, that I haven't learned something from, or, you know, seen something that has helped me learn something to do something better maybe down the road with somebody else I've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
So it was incredible. It, you know, he's, I want to say, if I remember right, he was like 7'2", 7'3", maybe.
Yeah.
And
legit. You know,
yeah,
they was out a little bit, but he was, yeah.
No, he was legit a 7'2", 7'3" guy. Didn't speak English. That's why they brought in Bill Alfonso to kind of travel with him and to help him, you know, get around and everything, because Bill Alfonso spoke Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So no, it was kind of cool being in the ring with him. It was almost like you stand there in awe of him, because he was just so massive. You know, he was just so tall and thick. You know, I mean, you just don't see guys that big and that thick in your everyday life.
Definitely. Ishman, do you have another question?
Yeah, I had a question from the message board. TMC, he wants to know your side of if you have any opinions on the Starrcade Hogan / Sting Nick Patrick debacle. He wants to know if you knew what happened there or what went down on that match.
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I don't. I wasn't the referee in the match. And I honestly, I mean, that happened so long ago. God, that had to been at over 10. Probably almost 15 years ago now, 10 or 15 years ago. And I just honestly, I remember the situation, but I honestly don't remember what happened. I mean, I don't remember the reasoning behind it, what happened. So I really can't elaborate on it, just because I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to elaborate on something and give out misinformation that I just don't know.
When Nick Patrick, you know, became the NWO ref, and so he's like really part of storylines and stuff. Did he get an ego, or did anybody else, or any of the refs kind of get jealous? Like, you know, now this guy's kind of a step above us.
Oh no, not at all. That's not Nick Patrick at all. If you know, if you knew Nick Patrick personally, and I can say I honestly know Nick Patrick personally. I've traveled with him. I've roomed with him. Been up and down the road 100 times with him, you know, work shows with him, and he's a real humble guy. So no, not at all. He's just a very humble guy, and it never ever came across like that whatsoever, or would it, because he's just not a guy, type of guy that's going to get a big head. He's really not. He's a real humble guy and a good guy.
Mm. Have you ever run into any refs that you had a problem with?
Not really that I don't want to say I've had a problem with. I mean, I've run into a bunch of refs who, I guess the kindest thing I would say is, well, they wore a striped shirt, but that would be about the extent of, you know, what their ability was, in the ring. So, you know, I mean, it's because I've done it full time and I've lived the life and I know what it takes to be a referee in that ring, and to work with the talent and to work with the egos and the, you know, everything that goes along with it. Not just anybody can do it. they really can. And so sometimes I get a little offended when I see certain guys either in that ring, like right now, that are making money that are no more a referee than I'm an open heart surgeon. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And so, I don't have anything bad to say about anybody particularly, but, you know, I mean, I've definitely worked on shows with referees that think they should be reffing, you know, the main event at WrestleMania, and they shouldn't even be holding the door open for people to come into the building. So, you know, that's why I guess I'd put that spin on that. So no referees that really had, you know, a problem per se with.
Yeah, I think someone asked a question about WrestleMania in the chat room, didn't they, Inter?
Yeah, Piper fan, he wants to know, do you have any memories working WrestleMania 13?
I do, and it was in Chicago. It was at the, I believe it was one of the last shows that they did at the Rosemont Horizon, because now they have a new building or new arena in Chicago, not far from there, I believe, that's called the Allstate Arena, and that's where all the shows, I believe, now. I don't even know that the Rosemont Horizon is still even standing. They may have knocked it down. I don't know. It was incredible. Again, it's their production is beyond compare. It's just an incredible show. It really is, you know, and it's a big show after they have a big, you know, they feed everybody real well. They have a party after in the banquet room or ballroom kind of thing. I got to meet, you know, different stars that were there. Definitely a high pressure situation on WrestleMania Day. Everybody's keyed up, but in a good way. You know, it really is, and it's an incredible WrestleMania is an incredible show. There's nobody that could really say otherwise because it's what they do there is beyond compare. It really is. I don't know that anybody else could even begin to produce, you know, something like on the level of a WrestleMania like WWE does.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were both at WrestleMania, then at, you know, Starcades and, you know, WCW pay-per-views. How would you compare the two?
Vince McMahon really runs the WWE with a real iron fist and is very particular about his product and the product he wants on TV and the product that he puts out. And he's like the bottom line. It's everything stops with him. Whereas in WCW, you had bookers, you had people that were office people, but you really had that's not true. You had Eric Bischoff at one time who, you know, pretty much ran it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, again, I think it's because that's their product is wrestling and not TV. So they really, I think, go all out to put the best product on TV that they can. And they do. They do an incredible job. I just think that it's a more relaxed environment in WCW as opposed to WWF and WWE.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. President Clinton here in the chat room wants to know what caused your transition from WWF to WCW.
I was working in and out of WWF at the time, and still doing independence, and then I go in and do some shots for them, and they never seemed to really have a spot for me. You know, I'd go in, I'd work a few months, then I'd be gone for a couple months, and I'd go do some independence. And then through doing independence, I was working some independent shows out in Chicago. It was called AWF. I think it was called the American Wrestling Federation. A gentleman named Paul Alperstein was the promoter of it. And there was all kinds of talent out there. Tito Santana was out there working, doing the off, you know, booking, and so wasn't Terry Taylor, Jim Brunzel, Sergeant Slaughter was out there at the time, and they all knew me, and I had worked with Terry Taylor when he was with the WWF at one point, and then I met, kind of reconnected with him and saw him again out at the AWF, and he just always liked my work, and he always said that if I could ever help you, he would. And then he got to WCW and at one point was the booker or was the assistant booker. And he called me and asked me if I wanted to come in and do some shots for them. And I caught on and there I was, you know, so it was really through Terry. I owe my break in WCW or my getting to WCW to Terry Taylor. And I've always been very grateful to Terry for that. Terry is a great guy, and I've always been very grateful for the opportunity that he gave me in WCW.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm glad you said that, because I know the last few years a lot of people have been negative on Terry Taylor. I've never met him, but I've always liked him as a wrestler and, you know, someone on TV. But the last few years, a lot of people were negative on him, so I'm glad you said something.
Yeah, you know, I guess that I would say for me, you know, personally, I've always liked Terry. Mm-hmm. He gave me my, you know, he gave me the biggest, you know, one of the biggest breaks I ever had. So, you know, and I know there are people that, you know, are from different schools on Terry Taylor. You know, like I said, with Terry, you either really like him or you don't. That's mm-hmm. just how Terry Taylor is. So that's how I find most people are with Terry. There's no really, you know, middle of the road with Terry. You either really, people either really like him or not so much. But, you know, I can only say my experience with him, he has always been very honest, very fair, and very forthcoming with me. So, I, you know, for me, I could never say anything bad about him. I owe him, you know, the greatest of gratitude, and I've always said that to him, because, you know, he's a good guy, and, you know, he gave me, you know, one of the biggest breaks of my career. So for me, I'm very grateful to Terry Taylor and have nothing but good things to say about him and wish him nothing but success and good luck in his career and his life.
Mm-hmm. You know, you were part of, you know, one of the most infamous matches or things that ever happened on during the Monday Night Wars, and that was the Finger Poke of Doom.
Yeah, the Finger Poke of Doom.
Yes.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's people talk about it to this day. And when that happened, you know, it had a lot of heat. And I have my own opinion on it. But when you were in the ring, what did you think of that angle, that match? And
You know, there was a lot of stuff going on at the time. You had a lot of big egos, and that was the problem with WCW. You had a lot of big egos and really nobody to rein them in. Whereas that's really would be a different at WWF, because in WWF, I don't care how big your ego is, they'll rein it in. You know what I'm saying? And they don't really care who you are as far as, you know, as far as how big of a star you are. They can take somebody who's nobody and make them the biggest star tomorrow. They really can by the power.
Uh-oh.
Hmm. Is Matter Ego dead?
Hmm.
Well, should we try
to get it back? We'll take a break here and we'll try to get back on.
Okie dokie. We'll be right back.
This is Ron Simmons, and you're listening to In Your Head, online.com. Bam!
All right, we're back once again. Apparently, the Finger Poke of Doom, it's so controversial, it even broke the phone lines.
Yeah, it was just, I think what happened there was that you had some really huge egos. I mean, and you've got two of the biggest stars at the time, you know, in the business. And I just think that nobody wanted to put anybody over at the time. Now I think that's a lot different. You know, and people will put people over because they realize that, you know, it's not really going to hurt anybody's business to put somebody over. But at the time, I just think that, you know, the egos were very large, and I think that there was nobody there to really, you know, pull or rein people in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that kind of thing happened. And ultimately, that's what happened and why WCW went out of business, because they started forgetting about who we were entertaining. And that when we started doing that was when we started losing the ratings war.
Mm-hmm. What was it like, you know, backstage when the ratings started to, you know, go down and then WWE started to beat WCW?
Yeah, things started getting tense because obviously they had, you know, we had been on top for, I want to say it was like 82 weeks or something to that effect. I mean, it was a long time that we had beaten them, and then all of a sudden they just started, you know, beating us, and if we weren't used to that, and I think that we had kind of made some mistakes, or I think WCW had made some mistakes with not, you know, giving the fans what they wanted with some clean finishes and things like that to really keep the fans drawn into the storyline. So it was a little bit tense. I guess that's what I remember about that that particular time in WCW, that things just started getting tense. People's, you know, tempers started getting a little bit shorter, and you know, so it was different. It wasn't as fun as it was prior to when we were beating them every week in the ratings.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you compare Bischoff and McMahon?
Two very different types. Well, no, I would say both very much the same. Both type A personalities, both very driven. You know, again, I have nothing but good things to say about WCW, my experience there, and even with Eric Bischoff. You know, he is one of the most, you know, he's a creative genius. Look what he did to WCW. Look at the talent he brought in. Look at the angles he ran and the things that he did for WCW. I mean, he's a creative genius. He really is. He's very driven. He's very motivated. And I think that's the same for both Vince and Eric Bischoff, that they're both just very motivated individuals. They're very driven, very hardworking gentlemen. And they just, you know, they go all out with whatever they do. And I think that's evident, you know, seeing, you know, the product that Eric Bischoff put out in WCW, you know, and by the wrestlers that he brought in and the risk he was willing to take, you know, to get those guys and the money that they spent, you know, he really, you know, worked some magic there, because WCW never even remotely competed with WWF or WWE, and then he kind of changed all that. So, you know, whether you like Eric or not, creatively, you know, and just from a business sense, you know, I mean, he's done a lot of reality shows, created reality shows. I know he's partners with, Jason Hervé from the Wonder Years. They have a production company that does, different reality shows, and, you know, he's a top-notch guy. He really is. I mean, I can't say I honestly had a lot of interaction with him there, just because obviously, you know, I wasn't a top talent, so to speak. But I mean, in the few dealings that I had with him, he was always really, you know, cordial with me, cool with me. And I can't really say anything bad about him. There was really, and everybody has their own opinion about, you know, different guys in the business, different promoters, you know, and I just base everything on how I was treated. And, you know, for me, he treated me fine. So,
yeah. Now, who did you like travel with, during the Nitro days?
Traveled with referee Mickey J. I traveled, Nick Patrick, Mickey J. I traveled with Booker T many, many, many times. I was very good friends with Booker T. He's a phenomenal guy, and I'm just so happy about all his success in the business. I actually refereed his first title, match in WCW. He just deserves, you know, all the success, because he's a real hardworking guy. And just a good guy, and he's really, you know, deserved the success he's gotten in the business. Let me think. I've traveled from A to Z, you name it, I've probably traveled with them. I used to travel with, the Big Boss Man on occasion. It's probably a who's who of, you know what I'm saying, Jimmy Hart. I traveled with him a few times when he, you know, because he was an agent with WCW. It's pretty much a who's who. Bobby Duncombe. Let's see, who else have I got? Pretty much everybody there. I mean, at one time I probably jumped into a car with them, or they jumped into a car with me. Trying to think who else there that I've just multiple people that I'm probably forgetting about. Fit Finley. I've traveled with Fit Finley many, 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 many times. A good guy. Oh, Haku or Ming from WWF.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
He's a great guy. I traveled with him for many, many years. Let's see. God, a plethora of people that, you know, I probably just don't even remember. On the independents, I travel, you know, pretty much with whoever the WWF guys that were on the, you know, independent shows. I've traveled with Rikishi. You probably name it, and I've probably either traveled with them, roomed with them, or, you know, something to them, or I've worked in the ring with them. So between all that, I'm sure there's not many that I've missed.
Yeah. Now, I want to know here, did you ever see a Haku get in a fight with anyone? Because he's known as the toughest guy in wrestling.
Oh, he is. Mm-hmm. Bar none. I mean, if it was a shoot, he'd be the champion. You know what I mean? He's a
right.
Very, he's a, yeah. I mean, he's definitely, if you're in a bar fight, you want him on your side. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's a very tough customer. All those Samoan boys are just, you know, they're all very tough. And, but on that same breath, I say about Haku or Ming, He is a very good friend of mine, and let me tell you, he has got the biggest heart of anybody you have ever met. He would do anything in the world for anybody. I mean, that persona of in the ring and who he was in that ring was very much real, and trust me, he was a very much very tough guy. But I mean, personally and outside of the ring, he is probably one of the most gentlest men you will ever meet, and with one of the biggest hearts of anybody you're ever going to meet in the business. Yeah.
You mentioned Bobby Duncombe, and I have to ask you because it's one of my favorite things. Any thoughts on the West Texas Rednecks?
I loved it. I thought it was great. Uh-huh. I really did. You know, I mean, it was kind of cheap. It was kind of cheesy, but I really liked it. You know, Jimmy Hart worked with them on the music because he was kind of the music guy there, too, because he has a music background. And I thought it was great. I mean, I've always been a big Kurt Hennig fan, who's two guys that are no longer with us. But I thought it was great. You know, Kurt is a character, and he can pretty much do anything with any group or any, you know, he can make anything work. He really could. He was that good. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I thought it was great. I really, really did. It was a great, great, you know, great while it lasted kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I wish it would have went on longer. I really think they could have had a run as good guys, baby faces, because people loved it.
Yeah, they did. They did. It was a heel group, but you know, it was just odd that the people really kind of turned them baby face. You know? And I don't even remember. It was Bobby Duncombe Jr. It was Kurt Hennig, and I'm trying to think who was the other.
Was it both the Wyndhams, Barry and Kendall?
Oh, Kendall. It was Kendall, and it wasn't Barry. I don't think Barry was involved in that at that point.
Vern Vincent was for a little bit, because I remember walking in and having that line when he had the big cowboy hat on and had a line about the Wild Wild West, or I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no, it was, you know, and again, they used to come up with some neat ideas down there, and I think down there creatively they left it open more for people to be creative, whereas I think the WWF is much more scripted.
Mm-hmm.
and doesn't give the talent as much freedom to create. You know, I mean, they definitely, you know, each guy has their own input, but I think in WCW, there was more opportunity for people to do some creative things because of just by virtue of the number of shows they had. They had the Saturday night, tapings, they had Thunder, they had Nitro, and they had, what is it? I think they had at one point there was four or five shows going that WCW did. And on some of the smaller, especially like on the Saturday night tapings, those shows was when they brought in the guys that were not being used as much on Nitro and Thunder and did things with them. You know, they do, you know, kind of different, like they did the three count, if you remember that, with Shane Helms and Evan Courageous. And who was the third guy?
Shannon Moore,
exactly. Yeah. You know, Jimmy did work with them, and Jimmy was one of the Jimmy Hart was one of the producers for the Saturday night tapings.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave them, and Arn was there. Arn was a producer there, and they just gave the Saturday night taping show, which was the show they showed on Saturday night. I think it was like called the Power Hour but it was the Saturday night show they had on TBS at the time. And that was taped, like every 2 weeks, and they just taped a number of matches. And on that particular show, they really gave people the opportunity, you know, they gave different, you know, they tried different angles and tried different things. And if they didn't work, it wasn't as big of a deal because that wasn't their main, you know, focus as far as their show was Nitro, and that was their main focus. And then we did, Thunder was the, you know, the second show. And then the Saturday night shows were, like I said, were the shows that they kind of did, like, you know, tried out some things like the three count, the the Texas Rednecks, but those guys were also on Nitro as well, because they, you know, Kurt Hennig, obviously, he's a big star, speaks for himself, and he was part of that group, so they used those guys on Nitro. But like I said, the Saturday night taping show was really kind of cool because it gave a lot of the guys that they weren't doing really anything with, or that guys that wanted to try out some, you know, I know Barry, And I know his going to kill. Oh, Barry Darso.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Tried out a new gimmick, and he was doing a golfing gimmick.
Hole in one Darso, yeah.
The hole in one Darso, exactly, which I thought was cool, and it was the right uh-huh. place to try. It was the right place or the right show to try that kind of thing out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I mean, whether the gimmick was over or not, you know, at least you know you got, different guys had different chances to try different things, which I thought was really cool. And some of them worked, some of them didn't. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
at least it gave guys that maybe weren't working as much and didn't have, you know, as much star power for a Nitro to, you know, get the opportunity to really do some things, you know, in the business, and that was really cool.
Yeah. Now, as a fan, that made it fun to see the different guys there and the little weird gimmicks that would pop up. I remember Barry Darso actually tagged with, I think it was, he wasn't Nord the Barbarian, he just drew on Nord at the time, and they were doing a little, some type of tag team gimmick. It didn't go anywhere, but it was just fun for me to see that kind of stuff.
Exactly, and that's really kind of what it was. You know, it was a fun... It was a fun show. Eric wasn't there. It was Jimmy Hart and Arn Anderson were the two main producers. Mike Graham was there for a while towards the end at the Saturday Night Tapings. But that was pretty much Jimmy Hart and Arn Anderson's show. And like I said, they just really gave some guys the opportunity. You know, Jimmy was always about helping the younger talent and giving them a break and giving them good music because, again, he was a music producer. He was in a band called the Gentries from many, 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 many years ago. I don't even know how old Jimmy is, but that was, I want to say those, his group was from like the 50s.
I think it was, to be honest, yeah.
The 50s or the 60s. And it was, I know the band name of the band was the Gentries. And Jimmy Hart, like I said, because of his musical background, he did a lot of the producing of the music for, you know, like Three Count. And I'm pretty sure he did the West Texas Redneck song. But he did a lot of, he produced a lot of their music, you know, that people came out to, which was really kind of cool to have his talent. There, and I don't think that people realized how, you know, what a talented guy Jimmy Hart really was and really is.
Yeah, actually, you know, before you came on, Intra and I were just talking about wrestling themes, and I was just saying I preferred like the kind of the old ones. They might have been a little cheesy and stuff, but those are the ones that really stick with me, and they were usually about the wrestler and.
Yeah,
it was just fun, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They, you know, and I bet you I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those weren't Jimmy Hart creations, you know, because
yeah.
I know he did. I don't know so much that he did that in WWE and WWF, but I would assume he probably had those opportunities just because he was there for many years and, you know, because of his musical background and his musical connections that he, you know, he was friends with. He was also connected to... Lou Pearlman, the boy band guy who started like NSYNC and 98 Degrees. I'm not sure if he started 98 Degrees, but I know he started NSYNC and actually NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys were Lou Pearlman, creations. And I know Jimmy somehow was connected through to him. So I don't know if, you know, he helped out with some of those or through, you know, that connection, how Jimmy got to produce. I'm not really sure how Jimmy got to produce, you know, the music that he did, but I know, you know, some of the stuff he did was really kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When, you know, WCW folded and then, you went to the WWF, you
yeah.
picked up a lot of the guys and, you know, I've heard you talk, in an older interview back, getting the ring. It was the first show I listened to, but, you know, you didn't have a good time when you went back to the WWF?
Yeah, I had a quick, like I said, I had a quick cup of coffee with them. It was just a different time. It was a lot going on. You know, we were coming in from WCW. Again, there were a lot of egos, a lot of people worried about losing their job because they had brought in so many people. And I just think somehow I just kind of got caught in some situations that situations that, I just, you know what I mean? I wasn't having fun anyways, to be very honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
My father at the time actually had been diagnosed with lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just signed with them. And my head really wasn't into it anyway. So I guess I say the Lord works in mysterious ways because I got to be home with my dad for 8 weeks while he died. So, and I, had I not... been not been home, or if I had been with WWF
on the road,
or on the road, I would have missed all that,
And I'm so glad that I was home, you know, with my dad when he was, you know, dying of lung cancer. And so I say the Lord works in mysterious ways. It really hasn't hurt my career, I don't think. I still do a lot of signings. I still do independent shows that I get, you know, flown to and, you know, different things. So, it's actually been good. You know, I mean, and I don't harbor any ill will towards anybody in the WWE. I know a lot of people still that work there. I still have conversations with people in the office. So, and I think the whole thing really kind of got blown out of proportion, to be quite honest with you. That's how I look at it. It's just, you know, I just look at it as like spilled milk and water over the dam, I guess. And, you know, you can't live your life looking behind. And like I said, I really believe that God, the Lord works in mysterious ways and he puts you where you're supposed to be. And I just don't think I was supposed to be there at the time.
So. Honestly, you sound like you had a great time in wrestling, and you're still having a good time in wrestling. Oh. And to me, that's a positive thing. That's what you
absolutely.
Fun, you know?
Yeah, I still love the business. I'm actually going out to the Cauliflower Alley Club in Las Vegas. So I think that's coming up in actually 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going to be refereeing some matches out there. They're having a show out there as one of the events for the Cauliflower Alley Club banquet that they have. I don't know if you've ever been out to it. It's really kind of incredible.
Yeah.
If you've never been, or anybody who's never been that's maybe thinking of going, mm-hmm. It's a great time. It's a lot of fun, real fan friendly. You get to see a lot of people, and it's just a really great time.
Yeah, I was
both
say,
for people in the business and people who are just fans of the business.
Mm-hmm. I'd say I was pretty good friends with Sir Oliver Humperdinck, you know, over the last few years doing the Fan Fest a lot, and he always tried to get me to go to the Cauliflower Club, and he passed away a few years ago. But
he
really,
did, and he
yeah.
was, you know, he is another one of those guys that just died way too soon, you know,
yeah.
left us way, way too soon. Hump was a good guy. I knew him personally. Most times when WCW was in Florida, we would run into him somewhere along the line. Mickey J was real good friends with him, and I know one of the last times I saw Hump was with Mickey J, and he was sick at that time, and I remember thinking, geez, he just didn't look well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a really, really nice guy, and he'd always come make a big deal if I was at a convention or whatever, which I knew he was just trying to make me feel good, but
he was that type of a guy. He was just, you know, he was just that. He's just a regular guy, but he was a good guy, you know. Same with another guy who we just lost in the business, who very sad is Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
Bill Moody was just, I mean, I just can't say enough about him. I knew him very well. I actually spoke with him. My birthday is in February, and I spoke with him on the phone and actually through Facebook. And we were planning to meet and have either coffee or a drink or a burger or something out in Las Vegas and catch up. And then he just suddenly died. And
yeah.
I feel so bad about that because he was just such a great guy. I mean, he was a good guy. You know, he was a good person and did a lot in the business, had a great career, and just so sad that, you know, he just didn't get the medical attention that he needed before he passed away, because I think that perhaps from what I've read, and I don't know other than what I've read, is that he had a heart condition that probably could have been, you know, with the right medicine or, you know, maybe some surgery, could have really been taken care of.
Yeah. So. He was one of the first people I agreed to come on the show back in 2005. He, you know, he didn't know who we were, but he came on, had a great time, and came on, you know, like 4 times after that. And we were trying to get him back on actually too for our 8th anniversary, which is coming up next month. But
oh, nice. Yeah. No, he, and that's what type of guy he is. He would, you know, he just was all about the business and all about doing good deeds and good work, and never had a bad word to say about anybody. So
no.
He was well liked in the business. He, you know, just had an incredible career and really got to do some really great things with his career. So, you know, I have nothing but great things to say about him, but just very sad that, you know, I won't get to see him in Las Vegas, because he, of many of the people that I plan on seeing out in Las Vegas this year, he was definitely one of the people that I hadn't seen in a few years, and we'd always corresponded and stayed in touch, and he always, whenever he was up here working, because he worked in Massachusetts quite a bit, for, I'm trying to think of the promotion, I don't,
Is it Boston Wrestling with Dan Marotti, maybe?
Yes, yes. I'm not sure the name of the federation, but that's the gentleman who booked.
Yeah, maybe it's Millennium Wrestling, but yeah, it's Dan Marotti.
Yes, Millennium, yeah. I believe it was. Yes, it was Millennium Wrestling, and they used to book him quite a bit. And I know a friend of mine down there who was involved with the shows always said that he always asked about me and, you know, how I was doing and everything. And I just thought that was really kind of cool, you know, that he always thought about me, when he, you know, knowing I was from Maine and from New England and stuff. And he was just a good guy, and I always enjoyed talking to him when he was working, you know, with The Undertaker, when I was with, when it was at the time, WWF. You know, me and Percy had some great talks in the locker room, and he was just a great guy to talk to, excuse me, a great guy to talk to, and great guy to just be around. He really was.
Yeah, he was a great combination of, he had a great mind for wrestling and talked to you all about different wrestling, and at the same time, he could just be really silly and funny, and I think that was just like a perfect combination to have.
It was. It really worked, and he used it to make a career and make good money for himself, so... You know, the sad thing is that he just didn't, you know, he just, I don't know that he knew he was, you know, had the condition that he had, or that maybe he needed to seek some medical care, because a lot of the old timers, they either don't have insurance, or they're just, you know, and the old timers really didn't go to the hospital. They just kind of, you know, got by and, you know, kind of self took care of themselves. And, you know, with a heart condition, though, you really need to get, you know, that's just the type of thing that needs medical care. And it's just too bad that a lot of the older guys in the business who gave so much to the business don't have, you know, like health insurance or life insurance, you know, to help them later on in life when they really need that type of, you know, need care for their bodies, you know, because they're, you know, they've been through so much, their bodies have been through much, and, you know, they really need, you know, health care. I just think it has to, at some point, become mandatory for anybody who's in the business full time.
Mm-hmm. But then it's so expensive. As someone self-employed myself, it's not cheap to get
insurance.
And then plus, especially if you're in the wrestling business, I assume it would probably be quite expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have private insurance myself, and it's not cheap, but I look at it like how you can't afford not to have it because of the fact that you just don't know. I mean, you could get hurt in that ring, you know, I mean, and the next thing you know, you're in the hospital. Well, look at X-Pac. You know, I know he just got injured and had to have emergency surgery, and I guarantee you that emergency surgery wasn't cheap. Mm. So I don't know, you know, I don't know if the promoter that ran that show is picking up the tab for that. I can't imagine he would, or that he would have the money or the resources to do that. So I don't know if X-Pac has private insurance or not, but, you know, anytime you're in that ring, anything can happen. I mean, the freakish accident can happen, and the next thing you know, you're in having surgery, and anybody who's had any kind of surgery in the hospital knows that it's not cheap.
Mm, that's I had nothing to do with wrestling or anything, but then I eyelid infection, and it was just a little surgery stuff, and all the doctor bills would have been like $5,000. If I didn't have insurance, and it, you know, like it cost me like $100, but
absolutely, yeah, no, I've had some minor surgeries too. I've, you know, had an eye surgery myself, and I was very blessed that I'm able to afford private insurance, because I just, you know, would have wiped me out. I mean, the surgery was like $15,000, you know, and the same thing, you know, with a deductible, I paid probably $100 or $200, but, you know, had I not had that, you know, I'd have been paying $15,000, you know, to have some surgery on one eye. So,
I don't think this is a topic, John, our intro here is big on talking about, because
that's okay. That's all right. Let's hit back to wrestling. What else can I answer for you guys?
Well, I'll just bring that up because he has quite a big bill from some medical.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, geez, he'll have to go out, I guess, and sell some pencils to either that or sell a lot of internet tapes or something to that effect.
Rob a bank.
rob a bank. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I don't know. That's, I guess it could be lucrative, but I don't know that you wouldn't get caught. You know, so might not be the easiest way to make a living.
Oh well.
But we do want everybody to know again. FanFest 3, Saturday, June 22nd, New England Pro Wrestling FanFest 3 at the Seaport Inn and Marina, and it's in Fairhaven, Massachusetts. And there's like so many people here. There's Demolition's gonna be there. Mr. Fuji. Kevin Sullivan, who you must have worked a lot with.
Oh, Kevin, yeah, I know Kevin very well. Look forward to seeing Kevin. Kevin's a great, another great guy. You know, he's another, you know, great mind for the business, and just a good guy, you know. So, yeah, no, I worked with Kevin for many years at WCW, and he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. There's a, as a, someone from Massachusetts, and he's a short, stocky guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And it's fun, and you know, a funny story about Kevin Sullivan was when I first broke in, he was probably one of the first guys I worked with. He was him and Nancy. Mm-hmm. She was, I'm trying to think, was what was she, the Fallen Angel maybe? Or I can't even think. I think she was the Fallen Angel was her gimmick when she was with him when they were doing that devil kind of Satan kind of gimmick. But yeah, no, he was one of the first guys I ever worked with here in the Northeast. He was working for Mario Savoldi, and he was actually just, I don't remember, I think he had been around for a while, but he was kind of working in the New England area, and you know, that's how I met him and Nancy originally. It was many years ago, and I know when Nancy died, I felt sad because, like I said, I remember her from when I first met her when she was just a very young girl.
Mm-hmm. Did you work? You worked for the Soldies?
Absolutely, absolutely. Right. That's who I broke in with. I had my first match with them at the Augusta Civic Center in Augusta, Maine.
Was it like IWCCW?
Actually, it was I think it was called ICW. Maybe, yeah, it was ICW. Maybe
right.
It was.
And then they merged with another company, and then there was IWCCW, I remember.
They kind of went through different name changes and different, you know, people that they worked with and whatnot. So I know at one time it was ICW, but I think I want to say when I first started with them, it was IICW or.
Yeah.
Something to that effect. So, yeah, and they had all kinds of people come through.
Oh, yeah, Tasmaniac. Were you there with any of the ECW guys, like Tasmaniac or Dreamer?
Yep, Dreamer, Tommy Dreamer, Taz was there. Scott Levy, who is Raven, was Scotty the Body at the time, and he had just broken in, and he was coming up and working up in this area. Let's see, Taz, Tommy Dreamer, Raven was part of that. Who else was Al Perez?
Yeah, really underrated guy, Al Perez.
Yeah, very underrated guy. And I don't think he's. He's not. I don't believe he's in the business anymore. I haven't heard.
From what I understand, I think he works. He's like he works for UPS or something.
Yes. I think I want to say FedEx or UPS.
Maybe FedEx,
So he just kind of, you know, he had his day in the sun, and then you kind of move on and. To just go live a regular life. But, yeah, no, he was a great talent there. I worked with Eric Embry, Dory Funk. The Moondogs came through there, Abdullah the Butcher. God, I swear Mario has pretty much booked everybody under the sun at one time. I mean, everybody went through there. That's how I met Tony Rumble, who's now deceased.
Yeah. Boston Bad Boy. I see him on TV all the time here.
The Boston Bad Boy, exactly. Tony Rumble. Let's see, who else was in and out of there? I mean, God, everybody under the sun. Carlos Colon was there. The Invaders, Eric Embry, you know, guys that came out of Texas that were with World Class Wrestling. Manny Fernandez. Let's see, who else?
Were the Undertakers ever there? Because from understanding, the Undertakers, they were a tag team. They wore masks. I remember them on TV. And then,
Sal and Big Sal actually died.
Mm-hmm.
It was two brothers, and they were little, short, heavy, stocky set guys.
Yeah.
And they actually worked for Vince for a very short time.
Yeah, I think
they
were called Double Trouble.
Double Trouble, yeah. Sal was one of the brothers. He died probably 2 or 3 years ago. And his other brother is still alive. I don't know what he does now. He was a limousine driver and actually owned his own limo. Last I knew, but that could, you know, that's many years ago. And I hadn't seen Sal. God, Sal died probably, I don't remember when Sal died. It's probably been longer than I think, maybe 3-4 years he's been gone now. But yeah, they were great guys too. You know, they came through there. Filippolo came through there, Brian Walsh, you know, some of the New England guys, John Callahan, Pete Doherty was there a couple of times. Let me think, who else? Tony Ulysses. I mean, you name it. The Pink Assassin, Brian Walsh. Who else went in? I mean, just a plethora of people that have been, Edward Carpentier, Gino Brito Jr., Sky Lolo, Frenchie Martin, all the Canada guys that came down here. What was his name? Just so many that I can't even remember at this point that, you know, in the very beginning when I first started in 1985, was my first year in the business. So, I mean, since then, so many people have kind of come and gone and been through, you know, had come, you know, worked for Mario and whatnot. He actually booked AWA shows. I worked with Vern Gagne and Greg Gagne and Brian Brazell and a lot of those guys when Mario brought those guys up, Sherry Martel. Then I worked for the Wild Samoans, had their own promotion. I worked for them for a long time and worked with all the Samoan guys. Those guys are just the best. Afa, Sika, all the kids, Junior, Fatu. God, there's just so many that I've worked with over the years. I've worked with David Schultz. Who else? God, there's just so many to remember. It's like a who's who. Kerry Von Erich. God, you name it, I've probably worked with them at one time.
That was great. The majority of those names I grew up watching here in Massachusetts. So.
Nice.
It's going down memory lane here.
Absolutely. That makes me feel old.
Just real quick, there's so many people. Tim White.
Tim White, great, good guy. He owns a bar called The Friendly Tap.
Uh-huh.
As far as I know, he's a producer and an agent still with the WWE. Always liked him. You know, good guy. I'm looking forward to actually seeing him at the Fan Fest. I think he's booked for that day.
Yeah, this was going. He was on there. The Friendly Tap they actually used for some angles on Raw with like
yeah
the,
they
the,
did
yeah. And
yeah,
I've driven by it a few times, it's on an island, I believe, but I've never stopped.
Yeah, I want to say it's in Warwick, Rhode Island is where it is. It's not a very big place.
No.
Just kind of more of a small hole-in-the-wall kind of local place.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does a lot of business. You know, it's got quite a following there.
Yeah.
So.
For me as a wrestling fan, I just saw the name. Like, hey, that's the place that Tim White.
Absolutely, Tim White's place. Yeah, Tim White's a good guy. He really is.
Bobby Heenan is the man.
Oh, love Bobby Heenan. I worked with him in WWF, and I really got to know him though when he was a commentator for WCW. Bobby is just—he's the best. He's just the best. He really, really is. I really enjoyed working with him, getting to know him, and he's just a character. You know what I'm saying? He's probably one of the best commentators that, you know, to be out there as far as a heel commentator. He was a great heel manager. So, you know, he just kind of stepped from being a great heel manager to being a great heel commentator and did a great job with it.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy. I know he's had some health issues, you know, as of late and, you know, the last few years, but, you know, I wish him well and God bless him. He's a super, super guy. And I don't know if he's booked for the Fan Fest, but I hope he is because I'd love to see him.
Yeah. These are the names that are booked on the show here. Just running over them.
Oh, nice.
Midian's going to be there. Let's see. Matt Hardy.
Yep,
Nick Viss.
Yep, those guys were actually, Big Vis was Men on a Mission. I knew him when he was one of the Men on a Mission guy.
The Repo Man. So, oh, they have both Repo Man and Demolition there. But
I wonder
if he'll do a quick change of costume.
Exactly, or maybe he'll do the hole in one gimmick. So yeah, no, Barry's a good guy, and then Bill Eady, the former Mass Superstar who ended up being a Demolition, you know, another good guy. You know, again, is I've met, I've just been very blessed. I've had the opportunity to meet some super people in the business, and people that I still have contact with, and people that I always enjoy seeing when I go to a, you know, a fan convention or autograph signing or, you know, anything to that event. I just always enjoy seeing, you know, some of the people that I've worked with in the past.
Yeah, there's tons of names here, and I'm just going to mention one more because we had him on last year when we promoted their fan fest last year, and I believe at the time was his first ever interview, and that was Jameson,
who I don't know who that is.
It was a real short-lived character. He was like the nerdy guy on Primetime Wrestling, and Bobby Heenan hated him, and then he managed the Bushwhackers for a short period.
Okay, yeah, no, I can't. I mean, I would probably, if I saw...
you definitely remember. He's part of the Bobby Heenan. He was on the Bobby Heenan show when they did that really briefly after, like, TNT Wrestling.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I just can't. For some reason, I can't put a face with that gimmick, though. But I'm sure when I see him or if I saw him, I would know who, you know, who he is. And he is where... Is he out of New England or...
Yeah, I think he's actually when we had on the show, I think he said he's in New York and has the comedy club. But yeah, he'll be at the fan fest.
Oh, nice, nice. I'm sure probably Jimmy Valiant, Johnny Valiant, yep. And those guys will be there. I haven't seen Jimmy 2 years ago at the Cauliflower Alley Club, and just wow, couldn't believe he's been around forever. I mean, because when I was a kid going to the shows. It was him, Johnny, Jimmy, and I'm trying to think who used to manage. Oh, Lou Albano managed them.
Mm-hmm.
They were the tag team champs for many years, and I was always a big fan of theirs. And then when I saw Jimmy, like I said, just 2 years ago, I just was like amazed that he was still working, you know. God bless him, you know. Still out there working and getting booked when he can, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. So that's really great.
He still looks pretty much the same, I think, because when back in the 80s, he looked like he was a lot older than he was.
Yeah, exactly, because I would assume he probably wasn't as old as he looked, you know what I'm saying? Because if he was, then by now he'd probably be about 100 years old.
Right.
But not that he, God bless him. I say, you know, any of these guys that are out there that have, you know, risked their bodies and you know, given their blood and their sweat and their tears to the business, say God bless them. You know, they deserve to be out there. And, you know, and people still remember all these people. I remember, you know, when I was a kid, these guys were all big stars, you know. And then some of them I even had the opportunity to work with, you know. I mean, I've worked with Ivan. I had the chance to work a match with Ivan Koloff and Bob Backlund for a gentleman named who's no longer alive as well. His name was Herb Abrams. And he ran a promotion called the UWF, and he booked a lot of the older guys, and I did a pay-per-view for them, and I got to work with Bob Backlund and with Ivan Koloff in the same match, and it was just incredible, you know what I mean, to be work with them, and even when they weren't in their prime, they were still really great wrestlers, you know, so... like I said, I've just had the greatest time. I've had the greatest of opportunities, you know. And like I say, a lot of it's blessing, a lot of it's luck, a lot of it's hard work. And I guess, you know, that's really what my career has been about. It's just, you know, had some really good luck, worked really hard, and had some really good breaks. And I've been very blessed in the business to meet some really great people and to, you know, I've traveled all over the world. You know, I've been to Australia, I've been to Germany, I've been to England, I've been to the Philippines, I've been to, where else have I been? I've been to Canada, I've been all over. I've pretty much been to every state in the union. So, the only place I have not been that I've not worked in is Hawaii. As far as the United States, that's the only state I can honestly say I have not worked in. But other than that, I've worked in all the other states. I've worked in Puerto Rico. Like I said, I've worked in Australia. I've worked, England. I've worked in Germany. God, I can't even think of some of the other places I worked. But I've definitely, you know, like I said, when I look back at it all and, you know, thinking about writing a book, I've been approached by some people about, you know, kind of writing a book and telling all about, and not tell all in a way that really hurts anybody, but just, you know, what it was like, you know what I'm saying, where I went, what I did, who I met, you know, and some of the pitches that I have, and, you know, just all the stars that I met. When I worked for WCW, they were very connected, obviously, because they were a TV company, and Eric Bischoff had the deal with Jay Leno, and we did the Sturgis show out at, it was called Hog Wild out in Sturgis, South Dakota at the biker rally, and, you know, Jay Leno was out there. I got to meet Jay Leno, and I worked, Dennis Rodman was out there, and Karl Malone, and, you know, we just, Dennis Green, and just, you know, a plethora of stars that I've had the opportunity to meet and what they're like. Mongo McMichael, who was, you know, a great football player and also was a great character as well. So yeah, it's been when I look back on it, it's almost like I look back like, wow, what a blessing I've had in my life, because that's really what it's been.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, it's been my pleasure. Anytime, give me a call if I can, you know, do another interview for you. I'd love to do it. It's been a lot of fun.
I'd love to have you back.
Absolutely. Like I said, give me a call anytime. Let's stay in touch. And thanks for having the White and Black Attack on your show, on In Your Head Radio, or on thanks. In Your Head Internet Show.
In Your Head, we'll just say.
All right. All right. But thanks again, guys. It's been my pleasure. Good luck. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Ron Reese, a.k.a. The Yeti, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
All right, we're back once again here on In Your Head.
You sounded almost like a rooster on that one. I think Terry Taylor, he's taking over your body there.
Hey, so, Andrew, tell me about some Hall of Fame news.
Jack, I got some Hall of Fame news for you. I know you're out. You didn't get to watch the Raw this week.
Right.
But you want to know who is going to induct Bruno Sammartino into the Hall of Fame?
Lay it on me.
He's this guy, little known dude, been in a few movies here and there.
All right.
His name is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, man. When I think of Bruno Sammartino and this man's amazing wrestling career, longest reigning world champion of all time.
Uh-huh.
Of all the people that was part of his career, part of his legacy, or maybe even a new wrestler that would look back and say, this is the guy that, you know, that inspired me to be a wrestler, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I guess they're buddies, so he wants to have him induct him, but...
Are they really? I don't know. I think they just say this stuff because they're like, Bob Backlund's buddies with Maria Menounos, so you're just an asshole if you say it sucks that she's inducting him. Then you're going to see Bob Backlund and Maria Menounos hanging out.
I don't know. Maybe Bob got with her.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. Would you like to see that, Tate?
Yeah.
Bob Backlund bagging Maria Menounos.
Be a good cross-face chicken wing there.
Mm-hmm. Cross-face chicken and bender over, spring plow, going to town.
My goodness. We just let the guests go, and our show goes all to...
Well, we got to keep a wrestling intro. So let's not go off topic.
That's right.
For the assholes in the chat room.
Who would you like to see Bruno Sammartino inducted by?
Ivan Koloff.
Ivan Koloff. Who else would be good to induct him? Larry Zbysko.
Larry Zbysko would be great. That'd be a perfect guy.
He could come in, wave at the crowd. Good stuff.
That would be a good one. Bob Backlund should not be inducted by Maria Menounos.
Nah, that is pretty insulting. I mean, like, I could see Arnold Schwarzenegger with Sammartino just because, you know, they're both bodybuilders.
Yeah, one guy's all about. And I think it's terrible. Like what? But Arnold Schwarzenegger inducting Bruno Sammartino. He was totally against steroids, and he's getting inducted by a man whose career is built from steroids. As much as I love Bruno, I find this more hypocritical than anything he's done. People say he's hypocritical in the Hall of Fame. I don't agree with that. I found this to be hypocritical. I'm going to be inducted by a man whose whole career, his movie career in the 80s, is because he was a big steroid user.
Yeah, that is pretty strange. That is pretty strange, but at least you can see some parallels there. I mean, Maria Menounos and Bob Backlund, what exactly do they got going on with each other?
They just want her on there. They're obsessed with. They have her on wrestling all the time. I don't know what they. Fuck Maria Menounos.
Yep.
Fuck her. I've told this story on the show before, but
yes, please.
Basically, they wanted me and Maria to do a show together. And her fag boyfriend was calling me up, like, oh, I'm a friend. And blah, 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 blah. Wanted to have a big meeting and all this bullshit. And then, I don't know, I guess I said something that was offensive to somebody. And this was over. It's all gone.
Oops.
But I will say this, because you got to take positives, even the negatives. And this he was a... He wasn't a fag, because he's bagging Marie Ramirez. But he came off like a fag, and he told me, he's like, you got to think of yourself as a brand. The internet icon, you got to call these shows, you got to put yourself out there, blah, blah. So, at the very least, I did take that to heart, and you've seen, for better words, internet icon Jackie Jones all over the fucking place, isn't you? Bang, 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 bang!
No.
You can't turn on the computer and not see me. You might turn it off after, but you can't turn around and not see me somewhere.
I love the people you take advice from. It's like, you either got to be Dr. Myers, where you wear the Halloween mask out in the ring, or you got to be banging Maria Menounos. I remember I gave you, like, the exact same advice as, like, this dude that's on the indie scene known as Dr. Myers. And you're like you didn't even care what I told you, but whenever Dr. Myers said it, you're like, that man is a beacon of knowledge.
What was his advice?
I forget now. It's been a while. But I just remember that it was like, I don't know. I think you're upset because of the reaction that we got to an interview or something. And then I said something, and then, like, I don't even think you heard it. And then Dr. Myers said it to you, and you're like, you know, this man has a good point. And I was like, geez, start a radio show with somebody, doesn't even listen to you. And then Dr. Myers... He has like the red phone that goes off in your head. you're just honed into every word he's saying. This man comes out as Dr. Myers. He wears a Michael Myers mask in the ring with the OR scrubs.
I think you're always flipping this stuff that, like, I just pay no attention to you. Talk to you.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch of bullshit.
No, it's the truth.
I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. Yeah. You probably have it like that.
I'm sure my side of the story is pretty slanted as well.
It's
as
like
yours,
it's so. Like I don't even think you exist.
Uh-huh.
The Piper fans in the tram. Jack isn't even listening to Inter right now.
He's like, God, what is this guy shot up already?
This fucking asshole. Oh, shit.
What's
Let's get that? A message. Sal McGee, he has an official thing. We're going to, by the end of this show, he's saying that he listened to last week's show, and he's got a ruling regarding my apology.
Uh-oh.
So I guess that, well, listen to the rest of the show here. We'll have some type. I don't know what's going on here, but
man, oh,
whatever, Sal McGee.
All right, Jack. So you got Maria Menounos inducting Bob Backlund.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get this. Mick Foley's been posting on his Twitter.
Mm-hmm. He's tweeting.
He's tweeting it out. Mick Foley, the guy he used to get hit in the head with a chair like 30 times in a match.
Uh-huh.
He's tweeting now.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that Terry Funk's going to induct him. How do you feel about that?
I think that, well, I think that's a perfect guy to induct him. Fuck,
yeah.
Maria Menounos. Fuck steroids,
yes,
Arnold Schwarzenegger. But Terry Funk, perfect, perfect, perfect.
I don't know if I could have intercourse with steroids, but you're going too fast.
You're going too fast here down in the South. We'll take it slow.
But, yeah, I'm happy about Terry Funk being on the Hall of Fame. It'd be good to see his induction.
Can we do a show someday where I'm Incher and you're Jack? That'd be awesome.
We could probably do that one of these days.
That'd be like, oh, 1 inch biceps, that would be awesome. Let's do this. Let's do this.
Verse day.
I like it.
Bizarro in your head.
Yeah, and then I watched a video, and he does this video with some little shithead kid.
Mick Foley?
Yeah, it's like this. He's like this 9-year-old kid. I was like, fuck this guy.
What was he doing a video with a 9-year-old kid for?
I don't know. Saying that he had the big announcement that he's going on, that he had Terry Funk doing the inducting him.
Was it one of his children, or who?
Yeah,
was his kid?
His name was Mickey Foley. Maybe it is his kid. But he seemed like a little shithead. Like, fuck.
You know that's going to piss him off. Somebody made a stupid sign that said Kane Dewey, and that he just went on a tirade about that.
This kid's doing stupid, like, backyard wrestling bullshit, and posted on then online. It sucks.
Huh.
Sucks. Fuck his kid.
You know, that's the last time he's ever coming on this show. If he ever catches wind of this.
This is why I started doing the show Straight Edge. All downhill. No censor when I'm drinking.
Well, when he's drunk, he's screaming out, fuck Maria Menounos.
Well, fuck her. I don't care if she hears that. You can tweet her or email her.
I'm sure she's brokenhearted.
Fuck that bitch.
Well, anyways.
Want to go to these calls?
Yeah, we got some callers on the line.
Man, I thought I'd be all in a good mood after Billy. He was like all positive and shit.
Yeah, he was.
Like
very uplifting.
Mm-hmm, I like that guy. I like that guy. All right, let's see. We got the Mighty Mighty Star.
He's got a mighty! He's a mighty! I know.
I'm just hiding yourself. His audio is the shit.
Guys, I overheard you talking about the Hall of Fame, and since we're about a week away, I want to get your thoughts at the Hall of Fame class is right for you. If you think this year's Hall of Fame class is better,
I don't think you can get much of a better Hall of Fame class than this. You got friggin' Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, just those two right there, the two longest champions. If anyone has a problem with this Hall of Fame, listen right now, fuck you. Think about that.
I heard, who's going to be inducting Booker T?
Probably.
Maybe Steve. I heard it's Steve. Yeah.
Don't
butter.
Stevie Ray?
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
Stevie Ray, that's a good one.
Is he going to bring the slapjack?
Mm-hmm.
Been a long time since we've seen Stevie Ray on TV.
Yeah.
WWE just never won him.
He does suck. I like him. He's a good commentator. I'll give him that. But as a wrestler, I mean, he blows.
Awesome.
Lexar, I'm gonna tell you have a problem with this year's Hall of Fame. You do. I'm banning you.
I can't get over the fact that you said that Stevie Ray as a commentator is better than Stevie Ray as a wrestler. But what are your thoughts about?
He is. He's much better as a commentator. You think Stevie Ray is a good wrestler?
No. But as a commentator, I heard him over at the WCW. How do you compare him and Booker T on commentary?
I think Stevie Ray's better than Booker T as a commentator. I think Stevie Ray's a shitty commentator.
Well, I think this year's Hall of Fame is probably the best one yet, but there's only a couple of people. In my opinion, Cameron Dallas Page should be inducted.
Well, they can't induct like 500 people. Then they would just run out of people to induct. They'd be like, we just inducted 500 people. That's the end of the Hall of Fame.
It'd be pretty cool to see Shark Boy being inducted. Oh, Shell, yeah.
That looks good. We're going to see Shark Boy in some of these TNA pay-per-view one nights.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Mighty Lexar. Are you looking forward to the Hall of Fame? You going to be in it? You going to be bout it, and rowdy, and peel some potatoes and toss some salads?
Now, I wouldn't mind having my salad tossed, but who would, like, go out of their way to say, like, you know, I want my potato peeled? That's just weird.
I don't know how much that one would cost me.
Like, who would want that done? To them.
People who like mashed potatoes?
You know what it is?
Honestly, I think you told me once. But, you know, I just, like, tuned you out.
Now we know. You said... You said that, don't pay no attention.
I'm pretty sure you told me, and I've forgotten.
I tell him some of their advice, and he says, I'm going to go listen to the talk of our dog.
You know that happened. You remember.
Attention to the woman's bicep. But when Jack tells me something, I don't give a goddamn.
Why would I respect this man when he... that's his impression of me.
You're wrong, DMC. The peeled potato does eat something. I know you think you don't know, but you're wrong, boy. A peeled potato means that you're giving their food up, and you got your teeth, and slicing out their penis with their teeth.
Yikes. That don't sound very nice.
No, it doesn't sound good. All right, Mighty Lexar. You're a good man, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. So I'll be down there to the Hall of Fame. I'll be hopefully getting tickets.
Hell yeah. But get some scalpers and say, give me good seats, you motherfucker, or I'll fucking shoot you dead right here on the street, you asshole, because I need to be front row center, biatch. I need to be sitting beside John Cena.
Does he have nice abs? Taza wants to know.
Well, Taza, are
I can't wait what Bruno had to say as in regards of his speech. Totally without those years of towards disdain and hatred of the WWE and Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
He'll just go off. He'll be like, you want to get some steroid goon put me in? Is this just a joke on me?
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Whoever the hell you are. Mighty Lexar, Mighty Lexar, Mighty Lexar.
That's him.
Yeah, that's. All right. He's singing. He's a song, and he's doing his thing. He's the song man.
Hi, my name is an incher, and I'm bored for praying to the Lord, holding this goddamn sword. So give me my boogie board, 'cause it's what I afford.
My goodness.
What the hell?
You said that song was blasphemy, John. You said that I'm bored with the Lord and
praying to the Lord.
You use GD in it and everything else. That's just blasphemy, my man.
Does not stand for this.
I do not stand for that at all.
Intra's a man of the Lord. He takes us very. He's very highly offended.
I am.
Hi, my name's Jackie, and I'm the one who you can call on because I can run with my gun that I won.
Uh-oh.
For throwing the plum at the sun, and I'm the one who loves choo-choo gum because I'm number one.
That was just longer than me.
Man, it's just like my penis.
Yeah. Well, he said you had a gun, too, and that doesn't that contradict the large penis?
This is my rifle, this is my gun, this is for fight, this is for fun.
But one of those actually won about the Hall of Fame that I don't think you brought up, is I don't think this year they're going to be putting any of the inductees that are no longer with us, like no Randy Savage.
People just bitch no matter who they put in. They're like, there's no dead people in.
Where's my dad?
Oh, they got a lot of good people. I have no problem with it. Sure, there's tons of guys that should be in that aren't in now, but these people that they're putting in this year are all very deserving. Bruno should have been in the Hall of Fame, the very first guy. If you're doing a WWE Hall of Fame, it should be Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, and Andre the Giant. Those are the first guys that should be in. And
Andre
right
is in.
I know he is, you asshole! But I'm saying, when he first did it, Bruno should have been the first guy in. He had the belt longer than anybody. He was the WWF during his time. So yeah, what he's going in this year, along with Bob Back, who had the belt for like 6 years. So anyone to complain that so-and-so ain't going in this year when you're inducting two people that should definitely be in, you have nothing to bitch about. That's my point.
That's right.
So take your plum and throw it at the sun and win yourself a gun and chew some gum while Intra's in the corner. He's about ready to come.
Now, I don't know if I'm offended by John the Songs Man's song. Or your song there, Jack.
Well, it's like we have to do each week. Who gets the better one, Jackie or Incha? So I guess Jackie won this week. Because like I said,
congratulations.
I am number one. Who give me the thumb?
In the bum.
I wish I had a time machine so I could go back and see your mom raising you, John. I'm sure there's a lot of, like, drops, fumbles here and there. Oh, went down the stairs.
What kind of music did you listen to as a kid that inspired you to write these songs?
Mostly the old ones, like Green Day or Pink.
That is the classics, Green Day and Pink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If there was one person that is no longer with us that should get one, the voice of the beautiful people, Potato Man.
Fuck him.
I know.
Fuck who? Who are you talking about fucking?
Everybody that I don't like.
Am I on the air? I was
What?
I was waiting for somebody to answer the motherfucking phone.
You're on the phone, but you gotta wait. You gotta wait your turn.
Yeah, patience is
a
virtue.
Patience is a virtue.
All I need is a large pizza with only anchovies on it.
Only anchovies?
Yeah.
I can't eat pizza no more.
Really?
It makes me sick.
I can eat pizza, but it has anchovies on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, do pizza places even have anchovies anymore?
So,
I think they
no,
do.
They don't carry them. They don't carry them. I buy cans of anchovies and a frozen pizza with nothing on it, and then put anchovies all over it.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, you'd always say, I don't want anchovies on that deluxe. But now I don't think they even carry anchovies. I never see it, like, on a menu. I've never had anchovies on a pizza, Incher. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's just, it's the best. But getting back to that song, are any of you guys familiar with Wild Man Fisher?
Nope.
Google it.
Right now?
Well, whenever you get a chance.
I'm sure
you have a laptop. I'm sure you... Who am I?
Yes.
This is John Dugan.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I feel like an ass now. You listening to me just...
You fucking fuckwad.
I'm like half drunk and just yelling at all the callers. And how John Dugan comes in. Yeah.
Yeah, so get that pizza. Are you not familiar with Wild Man Fisher?
No.
Oh, he wrote the song Merry Go, Merry Go, Merry Go Round. Boop, boop, boop. But my favorite song of his was, I have a cousin, his name is Larry. Hey, Larry, how you doing? He has a sister, her name is Martha. Hey, Martha, how you doing? He was a street musician in L.A., and Frank Zappa discovered him. He'd give him 10 cents, he'd make up a song for you.
Song pretty much him, yeah.
And so Frank Zappa produced an album of his shit, like in, well, I don't know, 1970, 1969, 1970, something like that. It's fucking excellent, man.
Yeah, well, they'd probably step up from John the Songman here, calls into this room.
Hello, is this James? Is this James on his TV show?
What? We're having some interesting callers here. Who is this?
Jenny. James' girlfriend. Yeah, he's the show.
Whose girlfriend?
James.
I don't know what's going on anymore. All right, well, we got Jenny.
Whose girlfriend? No, wait a minute. Whose girlfriend is this?
James's girlfriend, apparently.
James, he's the one who directs the show.
Nah, James.
Your Sting's girlfriend?
Yes.
Can he really go for like 6 hours or whatever?
He's into that tantric stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Does he really do it for like, you know, 6 hours?
I think you just get tired after a while. Like,
oh, is he there?
Is Sting here? Are you? You're just calling in to talk to your boyfriend.
Yeah, he told me to call.
Oh,
and people wonder why I drink during the show.
Oh my god. I heard Troy. I heard Troy Fecken Jones is free. If you want to give him a call,
he told me to call James.
He's always got a lot of time on his hands.
He doesn't show from his house.
I don't know what.
Is James there?
Call Neil's brother Troy. He never answers the phone.
I'll give you
some. It'll keep you entertained for a few minutes. Yeah. Just listen to the fucking dial tone or whatever.
I went out
is
with
James there?
Thank you for calling in, Jenny. That was. I don't know what's going on.
Jenny,
but yeah, I went out with Troy earlier. Remember. Went to the Brazilian Grill and had a good time.
Well, you know what? Is he just like a total hermit or what?
He'll be on the horror show tomorrow night with me.
What is this show? What is this show? It just came up. Your phone number came up on my Facebook thing. I thought, well, I'm going to call that fucking guy.
I do many shows. Tonight we do the wrestling show.
Oh, wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, there is a connection between wrestling and me because I'm from Indiana. And of course, Dick the Bruiser was from Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And also, I'm from Brazil, Indiana, and one of my favorite wrestlers is Bobo Brazil, who was from South America or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Brazil is right next to Argentina. And then my all-time favorite wrestler was Argentina Rocca.
Nice. You know,
there's, oh, yeah, Savat, or whatever, French foot fighter. Yeah. He wore a cashmere sweater, and he fought barefoot. So, you know, there's a, even though I don't watch that stuff,
mm-hmm.
there is a connection.
Someone
so there you have it, Neil.
Yeah, someone, actually at the last, I think it was Atlanta, they said that they talked to you about, like, old wrestling, and that stuck in my head. I was like,
yeah, we were, well, yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we talked about the old-time guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Bruiser, the Crusher, Bobo Brazil, you know, Argentina Rocca, which,
yeah.
I mean, he rocked. The Rocca rocked. But, you know, I was like 12 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been 1965 or something, you know.
We never had any of those guys. We've had some of the old timers. We had like Ivan Koloff on, Baron Von Raske, Bruno Sammartino.
It's like the oldest wrestler we've ever had on.
Mr. Wrestling 2 was pretty old.
Well, you know, all I really recall of that is, you know, what I just told you, and the announcer was always saying, oh, and he throws him into the turnbuckle.
Got a lot of that back
a shirt or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever say that? Do you ever say, oh, he got thrown into the turnbuckle? Throws him into the turnbuckle.
I'm going to start saying that.
Yeah, turnbuckle is a great word. You know, it's got, you know, three syllables.
Mm-hmm. That's how I rate words, by the amount of syllables.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's a money word. It's got three syllables in it. What's up with you, Hatman?
Hatman, let's see. Well, I just came back from Mad Monster Party. I know you were actually in Germany.
I was in Germany, yeah.
How'd that go?
Ate like a pig, drank like a fish, scared off every young woman within reaching distance of me.
So I had
a really good time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they took very good care of us. I was impressed.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
I don't know. I spent a lot of time in planes and stuff. You know, I got stuck in Chicago for 5 hours because of a snowstorm in Virginia or something. You know, I didn't understand. You know, I was pitching a bitch about, what does fucking Virginia have to do with me? You know?
Yeah.
I'm in Chicago. But there were no planes to put people on because they were all stuck somewhere on the East Coast because of, I don't know. The beers in the bar are like $8.96 a piece.
Damn.
$8.96 for fucking beer. You know, I had four beers, and I thought, well, I'll go check on, you know, this flight if something has changed with it. You know, I said, give me my check. It was $38 for four beers. Like, son of a bitch. Well, they went my profit for the fucking weekend, you know.
It was Monday. I was, like, killing some time because I'd, like, check out 11, but my flight wasn't till 4, so just sitting in the lobby, and Gunnar Hansen had sat down and started talking to me, and he said that his flight was totally canceled. He was going back. He was flying to New York and then going to Maine, and so he was stuck there.
Well, traveling for him was a real problem because he lives on an island off mm-hmm. the coast of Maine. He doesn't even live on the fucking mainland of the United States. So he gets to where he's going, and he has to drive, he gets, what's a city in Maine? Bangor or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, or something. So he flies into a city, then he has to drive, you know, for like 3 hours, and then he gets on a ferry with his car and goes across. It takes him forever to get anywhere. So
he was telling me on the island like that they can't even buy ice cream or milk or anything because like the little shops there like they don't have like proper refrigeration. So if you buy any type of dairy, it's usually gone bad. And
oh no shit! Yeah. Oh, he never told me that.
Yeah, we just sat there and talked for like an hour and a half just about, you know, random stuff.
Oh, he's a fucking cool guy.
Yeah.
He's an incredibly cool guy. He'd make a great professional wrestler if you want to get back to the subject.
Yes, he would.
The Mad Viking of Maine, or you know, some cry or what? Yeah.
Years ago, when we had who was the other Leatherface we had on? Bill Johnson.
Yeah,
and he was
Bill Johnson.
Yeah, he didn't know, but there was a there's actually a wrestler that was going by Leatherface, and I don't think any of the people knew where he had any permission to do that. But he's a fairly – he had pretty big, like, name for himself in Japan as Leatherface. And he would he'd come out with the chainsaw, and he had the Leatherface mask. And he would run through the crowd with the Japanese, and they'd all run away. And he didn't have the chain on the chainsaw, but he would really start up, and he'd really scare all the little Japanese people. They'd be running away. And it was, but – I don't think they apparently had no permission to do this, and Bill Johnson had no idea about it. But it was
I don't know if the name Leatherface is copyrighted or whatever, but I know the Japanese are really big on the chainsaw franchise. They were huge. It was hugely popular. The first, the only, the best, the one that I'm in.
Yes.
Well, I'm in three of them, but the first one. It was very, very popular in Japan, and Grandpa, my character, was really popular in Japan. And I got into a discussion about that this weekend in Germany, mm-hmm. about why Grandpa was so popular in Japan, and it dawned on me that they're really, don't the Japanese, worship their grandparents and old dead people and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think
they're really highly respectful of their elderly people. And so I was wondering perhaps if the reason that my character was so popular was because of the Japanese love for old people. We just put them into the nursing home until the insurance runs out, and then we say, there's nothing left we can do for him. Let him die.
Right.
but sad but true.
Yeah.
Wow, how did I spin off into that thing? Sorry about that, Neil. Sometimes I get real serious. Have you ever noticed sometimes I just get real serious about shit?
Yes. I can, too. I try to stay silly, though. But, that's interesting. And how many, is that weird for you? I mean, probably not at this point that, that the movie's, well-known all around the country and, all around the world and all different cultures, like it maybe for different reasons.
Well, I hadn't really thought about it until this weekend. I was in Germany, and somebody started talking about the Japan thing, and I really started, thinking about that. Why? We're highly popular in Germany because it was just banned there until a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
The original was banned.
Mm-hmm.
But there was all sorts of newer stuff that's way more graphic and violent than the original chainsaw ever was.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the Japanese movies.
For some reason there was a ban on the original until a year ago. So, shit, they love me. I held court all fucking night, every night, in the smoker's lounge. There was actually a room you could sit inside and smoke and drink at the same time.
No, that's unusual.
It was marvelous. So
Troy would have loved that for sure.
Oh, Troy should have been there.
I think it's the Atlanta airport that still actually has a smoker lounge in the airport, which is very unusual too.
Actually a smoker's lounge in the hotel, but there weren't enough chairs. We had to bring chairs in from the non-smoker lounge because everybody getting a smoker's lounge.
We went Sunday. That weekend we were in Charlotte, and Sunday we went bar hopping in these little bars just for something to do, and it was a lot of fun. We went to this bar, and it was this real kind of redneck thing, and I was like, oh god, they're gonna hate us in here. I got a suit on and a silly tie and a top hat, and they're playing this old country music. But they were really cool. They liked us, and they had a dog, just this old dog, walk around in the bar.
Were you wearing a kilt?
I wasn't wearing the kilt though. Then it would have been bad times probably. The kilt. But he's go down to this bar down the road, and he's like, I want to fit in there better, actually, because they said on Thursdays it's a tranny bar. So we actually went down there, and there a lot of the trannies were there, but they weren't in costume, but they were very flamboyant. But actually, it was a lot of fun.
What do you mean they weren't in costume?
They
take their tits off or something?
Well, they told us that you come back Thursday and we dress up and they sing, and the one guy told me.
Oh, so they have a drag show on Thursday.
Yeah.
That's kind of different than tranny bar.
I see.
But see, I'm highly educated in all manners, sexual manners. I know everything there is to know about. You know what? I made it a promise to myself as a young man to find out everything there was to know about sex and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you need to ask anything, you know, if you have questions about anything regarding sex and booze, call me.
I will indeed. You can make some calls late at night.
Fill the potato.
Well, hey, where are you headed next? What's next for your...
Yeah, I'll be going to L.A. I'll be going to L.A. next week.
Yeah.
But that's out in Indianapolis. And...
L.A.'s a shithole.
I've never been there.
Enjoy yourself. Oh, yeah. Well, you won't see much of it.
Why not?
Because isn't that show actually in Burbank or something?
I'm not positive. Usually they're not exactly where they say, because I know the Atlanta one was really like in, or the Chicago one was in Schaumburg, and the Atlanta one was in...
That's Chicago. Good God. I got to Chicago 2.5 hours before I made it to that fucking show. You know, I don't know, it's just like 2 hours northwest of the airport.
Mm-hmm.
That's like you can smell the cheese coming over the border from fucking Wisconsin, you know. So, we'll have a good time.
Yeah, we'll
definitely. Are you going to be at Motor City Comic Con?
I don't believe so.
Son of a bitch. I'll see you sometime this summer, I would think.
Yeah, we'll run into each other for sure.
You know, it's not a real show unless Neil fucking Jones is there, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with that statement. And
but,
John Dugan's going to be there. John Dugan's going to be there. John.
Yeah, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have a good time in L.A.
Well, thank you.
And,
you
and
have a good, time
good luck with everything.
Well, thank you. You too.
Travel safely and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Happy horse shit. Oh, and say hi to your fucking deadbeat brother.
He's finally coming out. He's coming out with me to Indianapolis. So if you make it to that one, hopefully we'll see.
Well, I might come out. I'm not booked at that show, but I might come up
on
Sunday and just hang out, like
in July.
I can stay at my Indianapolis. I can stay at my cousin's house.
Okay.
So. Not that I'd really want to, but three.
Yeah, and you get to meet the Jones boys, so it'll be well worth it.
Yeah. So is it the same place this year?
I think so. It's
same hotel and everything?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking I might come up on Sunday. My brother always comes into the state at that time of year, and I only see him once a year. And we spent a few days with each other at the family cabin, which is about an hour and a half drive from Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
on a little pond. And I may see him, but... Say to your brother and any of my fans and friends you might run into on the road.
Well, indeed.
Okay. Cool. We'll see you now.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. All right. That was cool. I was trying Dugan calling in. That was very unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And sure.
Hey. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's either that or John the Song Man.
I've talked to John Dugan any night, I'm sure.
Nah, it was cool. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Any more callers went on?
They all hung up.
They all hung up?
Mm-hmm.
Ass girl.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Jones.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I can't think of a damn thing that happened in wrestling.
Some shit went down.
Exactly. TNA... stuff happened. They had Bully Ray recapping the entire show, like how Aces and Eights formed.
Mm-hmm.
It was something to behold. He always, like, anytime like something didn't work out, he's like, well, it didn't work out as planned, and then we had to change it up to the second plan. Like, they would show clips of him getting beat by Jeff Hardy. It was like, why don't they just leave that stuff out?
They were just like trying to like piece it all together and like try to cover up all the stuff that like was unexplainable, but it wasn't really needed.
Oh, well.
But, Impact,
Did you watch it?
I believe I did.
No, I figured you would have been downtown.
You know what? I might have been. No, I think I watched it because I think I flew up Friday morning.
Ah. Huh.
But I don't remember very well. Someone's whispering in the background. There's an awesome picture of Ern Anderson.
Ern Anderson?
Yeah, no, basically CM Punk took the urn, and he put a little bit of hair on the top and glasses and like a mustache, and Arn Anderson's holding it and smiling, and they called it Ern Anderson.
So Arn Anderson actually like went along with this joke?
I guess so.
He looks like a man who just does not have a sense of humor. None.
Yeah, you think he just like kicked the guy in the kneecap?
Yeah, he's like, I'm not doing that.
You'd think Arn Anderson would hate CM Punk. He's like, that bear don't drink. Straight edge.
So
got
like
tattoos.
All he does is just drink. Is that your description?
Yeah, he's a raging drunk.
I know that's the same description that Kevin Nash did in his portrayal on Nitro that one time.
Mm-hmm.
So. Huh. Who's the Whisperer?
All right, Whisperin' McGee here. Who do we got? John the Songman, is that you whispering?
No, different, but I wasn't whispering too.
Here we have John on the line. Johnny Cates.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought maybe you did the time math for me. I wanted to call in for Raven, but...
He no-showed us.
Oh, he no-showed you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good thing I didn't call in this. I'm glad I no-showed him, too.
Mm-hmm. So what's on your mind?
I was thinking this week about that controversy about... I lost it for a second. It's a stupid controversy. Oh, yeah, Bubba Ray calling that guy fag?
Yeah.
And you guys last week, you said some people said nobody used to draw heat that way. Well, what do you call the Iron Sheik coming out and going, you know, during your guys' hostage crisis with Iran,
mm-hmm.
basically going Iran number one, USA power, that's going to be pretty controversial for its day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually would have been probably a bigger deal than saying fag.
I don't know. I guess it could have been.
In the middle of a hostage crisis, dude?
Yeah. That
definitely people used to draw heat that way. It's just that the things that piss us off have changed.
Yeah, now people are just real fags. And, like, stuff just people are like, basically.
And I bet if you walked around saying Iran number one, USA POC, everybody would go, oh, well, let him have his point of view.
I think in Neil Jones's world, Maria Menounos is the biggest heel ever.
Mm-hmm.
She knows how to get
it. Sure. Boy, okay, sir. Now somebody, you'll be somewhere and like, you'll think they don't look at you or something, and you will talk, you will hate them till the end of time.
Yeah.
That's when you whip out your penis
they
and
won't
they
look
at you.
You will just hate them and talk about them and despise them just for eternity. For all of eternity. For the rest of your days.
Yeah, but it was pretty obvious that the guy just totally snubbed me. So, you know.
Someone, like, actually is, like, this long thing, and, like, they wanted to meet me, and all this shit. Not that happened. You tell me, you would just be like, oh, well, whatever. No, you'd be like, fuck those people. I'm going to take my shotgun, I'm going to shove it Barry Menounos' ass, and I'm going to freaking blow her to bits.
No. You know what, in 5 years, no one's going to remember who the hell she is. I don't know who the hell she is now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Nobody watches those entertainment shows except Big Fat Housewives.
No, I agree.
So So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Money and Mahuna.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That's funny. Yeah. So, what caught your guys' attention this week, anything?
Not a whole lot. There wasn't a whole lot of stuff. I can't really think of...
I cannot sit for those fucking 3-hour rides without doing something.
They are long.
Yeah. You gotta play, like, a game of solitaire or something just to get through them.
I wind up on freaking Facebook.
Yeah. Then they spoil what happens for you. Like, but I'm trying to watch this.
I don't care about that. I got no attention span, dude, so if I really wanted to watch something, I could wait till I forgot anyway.
You're like, oh, shit, Brock Lesnar is on Monday Night Raw, and I'm watching.
Yeah,
oh, he is there. Oh, yeah. Damn.
He probably doesn't remember that he's there anyway. His head looks like he has a small brain.
I don't know if I would say, like, by somebody's hair size that they would have a...
No, just his head.
Just his head.
He's got a funny looking head. It doesn't look like a normal brain would be inside there.
So if you, like, cut off Albert Einstein's head and put it on Brock Lesnar's body, would you just have, like, the supreme being?
Well, I don't know about that.
Like, he's smart and he can kick ass.
Incher! Him and a high incher!
What's that?
Incher! Grab them cakes here in the chat room! Incher! Spoiled the Arnold introduction.
No,
Incher spoiling! Spoil!
Spoil what?
He spoiled the Arnold Schwarzenegger introduction.
It was on in the Raw. Well, you should have watched it before you listened to the show.
Well, maybe it's just something he does.
Schwarzenegger was on Raw.
He was?
No, is that what you just said?
Yeah, they showed, like, a clip of him.
I'm about ready to pass out.
I had to be out of the host, so I probably missed it.
Yeah.
I was kidding about Brock said, by the way.
Yeah, he'd probably track you down and kill you, Johnny. So
yeah.
You better let him know that you...
No, because I'm a Heyman guy. That's the only reason I sort of root for Brock. I never rooted for him before. I never liked him when he was there.
Well, you're wrong. Brock is the epitome of ass kicking.
You'll find that on most of my opinions, Neil, most people fucking disagree with me. I don't care.
He is one of the only people in the world that might be able to take me.
He might be.
He could not have talked to you, bro.
He'd have to lose the yellow shoes, but besides that, he might.
Punk's way cooler than Lesnar. Punk.
Nah. Brock's way better. I like
Even
Brock.
Though I'm not saying it.
I like Punk, but he's no Brock Lesnar to me.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar's no Brock Lesnar to me.
Lesnar would beat the fuck out of CM Punk. He'd just take him, he'd crumble him up, he'd squash him like a tin can, and just kick him across the street. He'd be like, don't kick the baby! And
he has a legit fighting background, so I'm not going to argue with you.
I'm pretty sure if Brock Lesnar went to a steakhouse, he would order the biggest steak there. And then CM Punk, he'd probably just stare down in his shoes. That's how you know. It's like the
he
vegan.
Five trips to the side bar. That's like five trips.
I know. He'd be wondering where the salad bar is. And it just don't work. Vegan could never take a carnivore.
Fuck vegans.
Never could take
until the carnivore gets carnivores and has heart attacks, and then the vegan's gonna win. And no, I'm not a vegan.
Vegans are more unhealthy than carnivores because they don't get the protein they need.
I mean,
that's right. That's what happened to my cousin. She did that for a while and got really sick.
Humans aren't supposed to be vegans.
That's right. So stick that in your craw, CM Punk. Daniel Bryan gave it up.
A human is an omnivore. That is why we have both canines to rip meat and molars to chew vegetables.
True enough.
Science!
Science is overrated.
What are you gonna go say? Oh, the Lord!
Religion's overrated too.
Tell him, Johnny. Don't you blaspheme on this show. Even though you've done it several times.
I'm kind of fucked. I never bought into anything and now I'm fucked.
You don't believe science or
religion? And I don't believe religion either.
Like pixie sticks.
Rock and roll, dude.
He's just a rock and roll man. I like it.
You know, boil that down.
I can do magic. I can do anything that you desire. Magic. Ooh. And you know that you're the one who can put out the fire. You do thine will when you cast your spell. On a hill, the high, the high, the head of the high.
You actually sang that not half bad, too.
What?
You sang that one not half bad.
See, I'm a freaking musical genius.
There you go.
Yeah, you're getting there, dude.
See, that's the answer. Johnny Cakes knows.
Yeah.
You don't fuck with the doors, or I'll have to come to Massachusetts.
You don't always have to fuck your heart. Sometimes it's not right to do. Sometimes you gotta make some love or give us some smooches too. Sometimes you got to squeeze. Or sometimes you got to say please. Or sometimes you got to say hey. I'm gonna fuck you softly. I'm gonna screw you gently. I'm gonna hump you softly. I'm gonna ball you discreetly. And I say, hey, I brought you flowers. You say, oh, wait a minute, Sally. Oh, you got something in your teeth. Would you get it out for me? Well, that's fucking teamwork. Oh, what's your favorite position? That's cool with me. It's not my favorite, but I'll do it for you. Oh, what's your favorite dish? I'm not gonna cook it, but I'll order it from Zanzibar. And then I'm gonna fuck you completely. And then I'm gonna ball you completely. But then I'm gonna fuck you hard. Oh, hard.
You should cut that over and email it to Carl Gus.
That was amazing. What do you think, Incher?
I think, what the hell am I doing? That's exactly what's going through my freaking mind right now. What the hell am I doing? Anyways, thank you for calling in, Johnny Cakes.
Yeah, take care, dude.
Take care now. See you later, my man. Listen to him chuckle away in his bubbly...
Can I listen for a while?
You go for it, Johnny Cakes.
Could I listen?
Of course.
I'll hang up quietly at one of...
Listen, just listen, buddy. We're all friends here, right, Incher?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we got a jam on the jam. Him out of how. Him out of how. Hey, hi. Jimmy Jansel.
Hey, guys, how's it going tonight?
It's going pretty good. I think we're doing pretty good.
I saw the Paul Bear tribute show that the Marillion Wrestling Federation did.
Oh.
It was a lot better than the one that they did on Raw.
Really? Who did this?
The promotion that Paul Bear was the president of.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure which promotion that is, but huh.
That's the boss. That's the promotion that Japs area.
Oh, okay, the Dan Marotti promotion.
Boston what, Wrestling.
Yeah, what made it better than the WWE one?
Because they had S-Pop came out, and he told some stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a prayer for Paul Bear, and then they did the 10 bells to Luke.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, video.
Yeah, he's a legendary character. I'm sure wrestling fans will remember him for a long time, so he will be missed.
It's a good man.
Yeah,
good
I did order the Paul Bear interview that they did with him for 3 hours on DVD.
Yeah. Huh.
You can take a look at the preview of it on BostonWrestling.com.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you can check out our older interviews with Paul Bear. We've got like three of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pretty long. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And those are free.
They are free. 100%
free. Of charge.
Mm-hmm. You can send us some money, though, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy.
It doesn't make sense for Schwarzenegger to end up through because Schwarzenegger did steroids. That does not make sense.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, I guess they're just buddies. I don't know. Don't know how to explain that one.
I think he's being a hypocrite. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I guess, I don't know. I guess WWE just likes the star power. People want to see the Hall of Fame, but they're not even on TV anymore. I think they just released them on DVD.
So they show the final part on TV, but they put the whole thing on DVD.
I didn't
after.
Even see it last year, though. Was it on Jimmy?
It was on the USA Network Hour Before Raw.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that now. That kind of sucked. I liked it when it was on Saturday night. You could actually see it, like, a little bit after it happened.
I think what they'll do is probably put it back to the regular condition back on Saturday this year.
Yeah, I'd like to see them do that instead. I didn't like it before Raw. That just seemed kind of pointless. But it's always good to get the DVD and see the entire unedited edition. Because I always like to hear everybody's induction speeches.
Because the ones that they show on TV, they cut the speech.
Yeah, they cut a lot of the goods out. Like, yeah. I know, like, Ric Flair's speech was probably, like, 15 minutes. When, like, the actual speech was, like, an hour. So yeah, they do. They really edit it. They get the scissors in there and they butcher it. Cut it off.
Because I did check the night after WrestleMania. They're not going to show it the night after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Just check. Unless they'll show it after Raw. That does not make sense. Show it after Raw.
Yeah, that would be a long night. It'd be like 3-hour Raw, now you gotta stick around for the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And then you gotta watch The Rock's movie he made 4 years ago. And then you gotta watch The Scorpion King back to back. And then you just crawl in your hole and die. It's a sad time. It's a sad time, friends, in the Headyverse. After you finish the Scorpion King for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my god, I can't believe I watched that.
I liked the Scorpion King.
It was alright.
I loved it.
I have both versions of it.
That was the greatest movie I've ever seen.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
The Scorpion King? Like, you got Gone with the Wind. You got The Wizard of Oz. You got Citizen Kane.
Mm-hmm.
You got, Hang on, Jimmy Jam. I'm listing off classic movies here.
Mm-hmm.
You got Rebel Without a Cause. I don't know. And then you got The Scorpion King.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
Hell yeah. That's entertainment, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Jam.
Yeah.
If you're telling Triple H to get the hell out of your way and he kicked you in the family jewels, what would you do? It's a very serious question.
Anthony, I run.
Smart man. Man, you know Triple H is going to catch you because he doesn't look like he's a very fast sprinter. He tore his quad once.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd get away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you, Jimmy Jam. You're a good man.
Stick around.
All right, stick around.
Let off some steam, Bennett.
I think we got Swax in the ass. We got Swax on the line.
Swax him.
What?
What's up, boy?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
Kicking ass, taking names.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I always kick ass, take names, and pile drive people's heads in dirt.
Mm-hmm. I do it. I pile drive people's heads into shit.
Man, that's bad times.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what the WWE says, my pile driver is legal.
There you go.
Yep. So I'm calling because I just wanted to give you my report on how my experience was at last Monday Night Raw.
All right.
Because I attended it in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia this past Monday.
Yep.
And I just wanted to let you know what my experience was. Now, when I walked in, it was me and my cousin going, and we had these restricted seats. And the restricted seats were placed right on the right side of the TitanTron. Basically behind the TitanTron, that we could see like the back seats and all. So that's where we got the seats at. So me and my cousin were walking to our section, and we saw that the drapes and the flaps that separate the seating section from the back seating was right in that section. So we went there and we gave the usher our ticket. He looked at the section we were supposed to sit at, and it was covered with the tarp. So we couldn't sit in the section. So we looked at our tickets, and then he...
Asian man, Swax!
So he got on his walkie-talkie, and he was like, hey, these people got these tickets that, you know, and we, you know... We got rid of the section over there.
What'd you think about the Caitlyn AJ match?
Oh, that's coming up. So
I can't hit fast forward on this story.
No, you have to hear this, Inter.
Oh, all Inter, right. You gotta hear. Do I have to hear it too, or can I take it?
Yeah, you gotta hear it, Mister Jackie Jones.
All right. Let's see where it's going.
So the guy, the usher, got off. And he was saying,
hey, I got a razor blade over here.
There's seats over here, and it's it cannot be used. So he went in his pocket, he pulled out this whole quad of tickets. And he was looking at all the tickets, and at that he pulled out two tickets, and he says, you're being seated somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Fucking reseat that shit.
So we walked around to the section, and we walked into the you know, the tunnel way to go in there. And as soon as
that's when you ice them and take their wallet.
Mm-hmm. As soon as we got to the section, we were right where the hard cameras are.
Shit.
Where the USA knows.
I'm fucking hard right now. I'm thinking of that.
I'm hard behind the hard camera.
There's like two cameras, you know, on this lower section. And from being in the restricted section, that was right
the hello, hard off, camera. I didn't know you were around these parts.
Section that we were
is this good, like the not. Play of the? Is this like the play of the apes? Or like don't go to the restricted area? Was there like
you maniacs?
Yeah, we were 9 rows from the floor.
That's
the Titantron was just, you know, in our face because that's how close we were. And the ring was like 50 feet away.
Like the hard camera right in your face, Swex.
And then the hard camera was like 5 feet away from us. We could have like shook hands with the cameraman from the USA Network.
That totally makes sense.
Hell yeah.
So we were so ecstatic of these after where we bought the seats, you know, to start with.
Yeah.
And my cousin had the best time ever. Especially when they had all the Rock and Cena and all the for the judging panel.
Right.
In the main event.
Yep.
It was unbelievable how close they were.
Hell yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
That's good stuff. John Cena was certainly hated in the show tonight. Were you booing him, Swax?
Hell yeah.
Oh, man.
We
could you describe
that
to Tazo how his abs looked?
We showed everybody in that stadium that he's nothing but Justin Bieber bitch and that he should not belong in a fucking wrestling ring ever again.
Right.
We showed hardcore.
I agree. Just fucking beat the fuck out of him.
That little boy needs a...
That little boy needs an ass whooping.
Yeah.
Fucking kick ass. Kick all little boys' asses. Intra-fuck little boys.
I ain't agreeing to that, brother. I think I'm out on that one.
So, we had the best seats in the house, and now we could talk about the Caitlin and AJ.
Oh, yeah. That was the main event of the night.
I mean, that match would have became very epic if...
It would have been fucking epic as hell.
If AJ would have never
They'd
won...
They'd have to fucking bring out a cannon and shoot the other one to make it epic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You should have brought like a bottle rocket to the seats and just shot it at Caitlin and blew her ass off.
There you go.
Made it more epic if she's going to lose that way.
X-Pac ripped his ass in half.
Yeah, if Xbox could rip his ass in half, Caitlin could rip her ass in 4 quarters.
There you go.
Man, was he at the Wendy's when he did that?
Would you like to rip his ass apart, Intro? How about kind of Caitlin's ass? Caitlin's ass.
Caitlin, okay, yeah, sure.
Like, Caitlin's ass is like bigger than Xbox's ass.
Yeah, but still. It depends who the ass is attached to. There's Fox.
And if Xbox rip his ass in half, not doing Caitlin's bigger ass to wreck, but it would be like, it would look like the guy from the Nasty Boys.
Hello.
So,
hello.
That match was okay. And everybody went. And when Team Road Scholars came out and you know, introduced the Bella Twins, I thought the Bella Twins was going to actually have a Divas match against the Funkadactyls. But when these two big fat dinosaurs came out and took off their jackets and was going to wrestle, I said, no way in fucking hell are we going to see these dinosaurs versus Team Road Scholars, because everybody wanted to see the Bellas and Naomi and Cameron wrestle that night.
That's right. You know, the Bellas, you can really tell the other ones had a huge boob job. They don't look the same anymore.
Yeah, I like, what the hell was that?
not like, I mean, the other one should get a boob job to match her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just don't make no sense no more.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's got a bigger ass, too.
They're not twins.
Are you a more of a boob or a booty man there, Swex?
I'm more of a booty man.
There you go. High five to Swex.
Because, you know, when it comes to, like, book test marker, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She comes out there and shakes that thing.
Mm-hmm.
He is fantastic.
Father must
there
be
you
proud.
Go. All right, Swax. It's good talking to you. You're a good man.
So mm-hmm. I had a nice night at Raw, and I had the best seats, and I had a very good time.
Mm-hmm.
I
had the best seat for you, Incher, right here on Uncle Jack's
lap. And also, tonight's NBA game between the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat.
If I can't tell my stories about going to the
Wendy's
convention, I listen to some bullshit about basketball.
What about Wendy's?
I'm not listening to it.
And get a Baconator?
I refuse. All right, Incher. All
right.
Inchman.
Take her easy, Swax.
Turnbuckle's got three syllables.
Turnbuckle.
What?
Who else do we have on the line?
You know how you tell how many syllables a word has? It's how many times your chin drops.
I thought you just count them.
No. This is the West Virginian way, Jack. There you go. That was a softball. Jesus Christ.
That's the West Virginian way to bird about a All right. Why don't we open up this fucking email, Sal? Sal McGee's been emailing me all night. Let's see here, what's it say?
No, Sal.
What? He has not accepted Jackie Jones's apology. He said I made a mockery of everyone's complaints about my racism, my misogyny, my homophobia. And I've been suspended from In Your Head.
Oh, my Lord.
Jackie Jones has been suspended from the Headyverse.
What?
I know, Jimmy. This is shocking.
In Your Head, the Headyverse president, Sal McGee, effective the day after tomorrow, he's going to let me finish my dates that I have scheduled tomorrow night for Without Your Head. After that, I am on suspension.
What are we going to do, my man?
I don't know. Apparently, I guess Clinton's filling in for me next week. Huh. And for the foreseeable future until my suspension's lifted.
I thought he's still in.
I know, Jimmy. I know. But, Jack, my heart is always with you. I think
I'm not laying down for authority, Incher.
I know.
Sal McGee, president of the Headyverse, you've got some legal battles here. I'm taking this lane down. Jackie Jones ain't walking out off into the sunset. It's suspended from the Headyverse. You're gonna get it, Sal McGee. I will not stand for this. You haven't heard the last of Jackie Jones on In Your Head, Incher.
No.
It might be in a couple weeks. It might be in a couple months. It might be years. But Jackie Jones will be heard once again here on In Your Head. You can't suspend Jackie Jones. Who's on the line? We got Shaheen. Shaheen, what's happening? You're the last caller of the night.
Man, I'm pissed off.
He's pissed.
I'm real fucking pissed.
He's going to kick some ass.
Man, I wish I could, man. I wish I could find Extreme Rising right by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Extreme Rising.
Pissed. Yeah, man, they're fucking up, man.
Still with
fucking
that.
Up, man.
Why are they canceling?
Because apparently they ain't selling no fucking tickets, man. I mean, it's, you know, you figure you're behind an organization. You gotta have enough money to risk some things. You know, you can't just cancel a week before the event.
They had some good stuff scheduled. They had Jushin Thunder Liger is going to be there versus Sabu.
Yeah, they had a lot of them, man. I just don't understand it. You know, this,
even
I think this is
Stevie.
This is a nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I don't think it looks good for him.
Yep. Nah, this is the end, man. It's got to be the end.
Yeah, I don't. It does not look good.
So I'm trying to get a refund now, man. They don't answer back.
Really?
The whole, yeah.
No.
I bought tickets to both of the nights. I already had the hotel in New York. I'm fucking pissed, man.
That does blow. And they can't refund your money?
I mean, they said they will, but they haven't responded to Facebook, email, nothing, you know?
I mean, what's the holdup?
I feel bad for the wrestlers, too, you know? I feel bad for the wrestlers because, you know, you figure that's a payday for them. You know, people like Luke Hawks, I know on his Facebook, he said he's open for shows now. Because he was booked with Extreme Rising for 3 nights, and I'm sure, you know, it's WrestleCon there that weekend, they probably would have picked him up if he didn't, you know, previously have shows with Extreme Rising. Now they canceled a week before, he has no money. I don't know, man. I mean, I think he's fucked up, though, for business.
Yeah, you have these big shows scheduled, and you just cancel them.
I don't understand it.
Might have been a pretty big walk-up crowd, you know, if they carried it through with it. No.
That's and honestly, I've been to every single one that they have in Philly, you know, because it's not far from me. So, and you know, every time they have to turn away at least 200, 300 people. So you figure, I'm sure they would have had enough people to at least break even, you know. But I don't know. You figure, you know, a company that draws at least 1,000 people every show that they do in Philly. Or, you know, Pittsburgh, they drew over 1,000. How do you not make any money? I don't understand that. You know, Ring of Honor doesn't have more than 1,000 people. And I think, you know, I don't know how true this is. I don't want to, you know, spread any rumors, but this was on New Jack's Facebook.
Which is probably very true, coming from New Jack.
Yeah, it's on his Facebook. You know, if you're friends with him, you can go check it out. And, you know, he said at the Golden Dome at the Pittsburgh show, they had people dressed as, you know, Red Cross people seeking donations for the Hurricane Sandy. And I guess that he said that Shane Douglas stole all the money.
Mm.
You know, when you do shit like that, you know, it's like, comes back around, man.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that, but.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how true it is. You know, I hope it's not true, but, you know, New Jack said it's a...
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty crazy accusation.
Quote, yeah, go on his Facebook. It's on there. That's what he said.
That's what you...
Yeah, now I'm left with no fucking tickets for WrestleMania weekend, man. I'm fucking pissed.
Yeah, that blows. I mean, people they buy the tickets, they get travel together and all this stuff, and then just cancel it right at the last minute.
Yeah. Are you going to WrestleMania, or were you just going to this show only?
No, I was just going to Extreme Rising, and then a convention the next day at the WrestleCon. I was just going to go and meet a couple of the wrestlers, but I don't know, man. I might go to that Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I guess it's New Jack's last match against Necro the Butcher or whatever. But it's nothing I'm literally looking forward to, but I guess, you know, that'll do for now.
That blows. Hopefully they get your money back to you, but, you know, these things happen. They cancel shows every now and then. So.
Nah, I was just excited for that Liger and Sabu match. But, I don't know, hopefully somebody else will book it, though.
Maybe me and Jack can book it, and we'll do an audio version of it.
Oh, yeah, you, man. If you get anybody from Extreme Rise, man, tell them their fans are fucking pissed, man. They're terrible. And, you know, they're not professional at all.
I agree. It sucks. All right, man. Well, thank you for calling in, and hope at least you get your money back.
All right, man. You have a good night.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Insta.
Jack,
so
I'm beside myself here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beside myself.
I was here.
How can he
time?
Throw down... I mean, who does he think he is, this Sal McGee?
He's saying that he also, if there's ever any chance I come back, I have to start taking the mandatory the wellness policy.
Well, that, I'm not so much against that, but I mean, just banning you like that. What the hell?
So he does not accept my apology. He said it was a I made a farce. I made a mockery, and that's it. He said the Hattieverse. He doesn't want misogyny. He doesn't want racism. He doesn't want homophobia. It's like that. Trying to clean it up.
Could you like make him a pie or something and send to him?
Make him a pie up his ass.
That's not helping situation.
Junior head.
What would you do, Jimmy? What would you do?
Take this to court.
Yeah.
Sell it in court.
Maybe we'll take it to wrestler's court.
Wrestler's court.
I'm challenging you, Sal McGee! I usually don't like this bullshit with court and all stuff, but we gotta get Jack back here on and in your head, so... If it's going to be in court, going to be in the alley, in the wrestling ring, I'm going to find you, Sal McGee. And Jackie Jones, I'm telling everyone out there, I'm telling you, Incher, my right-hand man, my soul audience soulmate, Jimmy Jam, I'll hit at a high. Everyone in the chat room listening live. Everybody out there, Boxman Dave from the grave, grab them cases, or Highway Juju, be no one, Special Piper, Fan President Clinton, Princess Fluff, Swax, TMC Ultimate Beef, the WCW referee, Spec Sun, the Body, the Beautiful People, Triple A, everybody out there! This is not the last time you will hear Jackie Jones and 1-inch biceps.
I don't know, man. It's Sal McGee, once he starts throwing his weight around. I don't know.
I want everyone to support while I'm gone. Listen to Jack. Listen to 1-inch biceps and the president. I'm sure they're gonna put out some marvelous shows, but I will be back. Promise you. Or I will die trying.
All right.
If this is the last time, though, Incher. If this is the last time. You're not just my partner. You're just my right hand man. You're my honest soulmate. You're a good friend of mine. And this has been a hell of a ride here and in your head.
Man.
Fuck you, Sal McGee.
All right. We'll see what happens. To be continued.
Oh, this is the Spartan Swinger, Brian Carlucci, a.k.a. Brian Danovich from the WWE's Million Dollar Tough Enough Challenge. I was the guy that got hurt and still competed. Oh, you are listening to In Your Head Radio, the greatest radio internet talk show live.